Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Hello, everybody. I'm Blake. We'll be having Charlie join us in about 10 minutes. He's racing into the studio right now. Welcome to the show. If you're here, you all know what's going on. About an hour ago, President Trump announced via Truth Social, how else? He just said, quote, "We have completed our very successful attack on the three nuclear sites in Iran, including Fordo, Natanz, and Isfahan. All planes are now outside of Iranian airspace. A full payload of bombs was dropped on the primary site, Fordo. All planes are safely on their way home. Congratulations to our great American warriors. There is not another military in the world that could have done this. Now is the time for peace. Thank you for your attention to this matter." He then said a few minutes later, "I will be giving an address to the nation at 10 p.m. from the White House regarding our successful military operation in Iran. This is a historic moment for the United States of America, Israel, and the world. Iran must now agree to end this war. Thank you." So he says he'll be speaking at 10 p.m. Eastern. That is about 40 minutes from now. We'll obviously be watching those remarks live and then reacting to them afterwards. Like I said, Charlie will be joining us. We'll also have producer Andrew, probably Jack Posobiec, maybe some reporters. We'll be getting them all right here. So to highlight those places we struck, can we get our map of the locations in Iran? The main one they were focused on is Fordo. That is a location in central Iran. It's one of those little red cylinder shapes. That is a major underground facility where your uranium enrichment for potential nuclear weapons was conducted. The reason that was a big deal, the reason there was a lot of people in Israel and in the United States arguing for the U.S. to strike it, is it's an underground facility, deep underground, so normal bombing, for the most part, can't damage it. So what they wanted was a U.S. big bunker buster bomb. We have this 30,000-pound bomb that can go deep underground and detonate, so it's capable of destroying locations that are hundreds of feet underground. I saw some reports on X that we dropped, I believe they said 30, or maybe it was, I think it was 30 tons of bombs, which would basically amount to two of these. It's about 30,000 pounds, so 60,000 pounds, 30 tons of those. We also struck one of the other sites, Natanz. That's another enrichment plant. And then Isfahan, that is a major city in Iran, but it had one of their nuclear facilities in it. So those are the locations that they hit. As Trump said, it sounds like we hit them at this point about 2.5 hours ago, and all of our bombers would already be out of Iranian airspace and back to wherever they took off from, which might be somewhere in the Mideast, might be as far away as the Pacific if they flew in from our base in Guam or wherever. President Trump has signaled he wants this to be the end of America's intervention in this. We've talked a lot about this on our program. You know, what would the results be if we intervened in Iran? You have people who are campaigning for full regime change. They want to topple the Ayatollah, that's the religious leader of Iran. They want to overthrow the Islamic regime, install a new government. Some of them want boots on the ground. We have been arguing very strongly against that level of intervention on this show for reasons that you can anticipate. Regime change has not gone well for us in the Middle East for the past 25 years. Afghanistan failed. Iraq was a bloodbath. Libya was a disaster. we don't really want to do another one of those in a country that is three times as big as Iraq, has four times as many people as Iraq did when we invaded it. Lots of downside to that. But the argument that some have made, and that it seems won over President Trump, is you can do a limited strike on Iran. You can hit their nuclear facility, keep them from getting a nuclear weapon, show that we are dead serious about that, but then signal that is as far as we want to go. Our goal is not to destroy your country. Our goal is not to overthrow your government. Our goal is you can't have a nuclear weapon and we won't let you. And that's something President Trump has been saying for the past decade. He said in his very first, I believe his very first speech as a candidate about 10 years ago, he said Iraq was a disaster, and he said Iran can't have a nuclear weapon. And that would chart out to, I am willing to bomb Iran to stop their nuclear program, but I am not interested in regime change. Now, one of the dangers is, once you've struck Iran, you don't have full control on whether the war escalates or not. The Revolutionary Guard of Iran, that is a branch of their military, they have an X account, of course, everyone does, and they tweeted something in Persian that said, now the war has begun for us. Now, Iran has done a lot of bluster. I think a few days ago they said, what happens tonight will be remembered for centuries to come, and I don't remember anything else happening that night, so there's room for bluster. But that is certainly not a signal that they want peace immediately. There's things that they can do to the United States. We have bases in the Middle East. They're closer to Iran than Israel is. They've been lobbing a lot of ballistic missiles at Israel. Some of those have gotten through. They've killed a few dozen people in Israel. They could start shooting some of those at our bases in the Middle East. And if U.S. troops are killed, if U.S. troops are killed by the dozens, will it be so easy to say we're not going to get any further involved? That's one of the risks to this. And we'll be talking about all of that with Charlie when he gets in. Charlie will be here. He's racing down the interstate here in Phoenix. He will be in as soon as possible. We'll probably have Andrew able to join us very soon as well. But for the time being, you have me. People are starting to respond to this. Amusingly, the first lawmaker that I saw weigh in on how great this was Senator John Fetterman, a Democrat. he said he was strongly supportive of this strike on Iran, and you know that guy has turned out pretty funny, and he's been quite the war hawk from Pennsylvania. What else? We have people weighing in. Thank you for everyone who's tuning in and watching us. Feel free to comment on our live chat. Do you think this is a good idea? Are you worried about further escalation? Do you want us to back out now? I'm being told we have Andrew. Andrew, are you there?
I am, Blake. Yeah. I am. Tech difficulties. Looks like I'm a bit pixelated. I apologize. But huge, momentous night. We were all sort of bracing whether or not this was going to come over the weekend. And here we are. I can tell, you know, candidly by the online reaction that MAGA, some of our base, is pretty frustrated. But I would just let everybody, I would just caution everybody, give this some time to play out. President Trump has earned our trust. I think, you know, he's got some explaining to do. I think the base wants to hear why he's decided to make this decision. But I believe, you know, Charlie has been voicing this on X, that, you know, the weight of the world was on President Trump's shoulders. This is what he decided to do. He deserves our trust. And I think the world is going to be absolutely fixated on his 10 p.m. Eastern address to the nation, explaining his logic. Already we're getting indications that President Trump is saying that diplomacy had ran its course. There was no diplomatic off-ramp. And this is why the U.S. decided to drop six. You know, we confirmed six bunker busters on Fordo. There was some speculation, Blake, you and I both know, that they were going to use two. But apparently there's three entrances into Fordo, and they dropped two bunker busters on each of those entrances, completely destroying that nuclear facility. The first bunker buster leaves about a 20 to 25-foot open hole, gaping hole. The second bunker buster...
Sorry, Andrew, you're just you're coming in and out there. It's like maybe you've been targeted by, you know, maybe you're part of the Iranian military with some of the... spotty internet. But no, we'll work on making sure you stay plugged in. As he was saying, yeah, Fordow, quite the complex. It's kind of funny, of course, that it's this deep underground, you know, secretive nuclear facility, yet we also like seem to know everything in the world about it. It's like, you know, how many entrances it has, how deep underground it is, exactly what they do there. Doesn't speak that well for the Iranian state security, or maybe it speaks very well for our own military intelligence and, you know, the military intelligence of Israel. We're starting to see clips here. I'm not sure if that's something from the strikes, but I imagine the strikes would have happened at the nighttime. No, that's just general wartime footage. Yeah, because it's about, I want to say about 4 a.m. in Iran right now. It sounds, or maybe 5 a.m. They got hit at about 2:30 a.m. Iranian time. To make everything as maximally confusing as possible, Iran operates on a time zone that is a half hour off from everybody else. So if something happens at 2:30, it's on the hour everywhere else. Lovely country, definitely a bunch of sane people who run it. But yes, so this was their big underground facility. Now, a big debate that was happening before this occurred was, can the U.S. bunker busters destroy it? And if they do, how far back does it actually set their nuclear program? Iran has already claimed they were able to evacuate the most important things from this facility, which would be some of the equipment and the actual uranium itself. They're using this to say that there's not a risk of general nuclear contamination from enriched uranium getting blown all over central Iran. They're saying they got that out. Now, if that's true and it's enough uranium to make a nuclear bomb, then theoretically they could still build a nuclear bomb if they have the other facilities that you need for putting one together. I'm not a technical expert on that, but that's clearly something that we need to be worried about.
Like, I mean, to your point, they call it a secretive nuclear facility. We have three-dimensional maps of this place. We know Mossad has already kind of infiltrated Iran at a very deep level. And meanwhile, we're supposed to believe, as Iran is claiming they've evacuated all of the nuclear materials, that we wouldn't have seen that. So I find that to be highly suspicious, and I'm skeptical that they were able to get everything out of there. And meanwhile, you know, we know from the Iranian passes prologue that they like to, there's a lot of bluster. They posture a lot to save face. So that's my assessment there.
All right. I think we have Charlie walking in just a minute here. So he'll be joining us. I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about this. We can say he's been playing a role in all of this. He was in D.C. I don't want to dish anymore, but he has definitely been weighing in on the right. This has been a big debate within our movement. Is this worth intervening? How high are the potential benefits? How great are the potential downsides? And I think we can all agree, whatever our point of view going in, now it's happened. Our job is to make sure that the results after this are what is best for America. So even if you oppose this strike, our job now is not to pout about it. Our job is, how do we make sure this works out the best for the American people? And I think from my perspective, and I'm sure Charlie will say something similar, our perspective is, we don't like the Iranian nuclear program. If this disabled them, that's great. But our goal is, don't let this escalate. Don't let this turn into a wider war in other countries. Don't let this result in American boots on the ground in Iran. Don't let it get a bunch of our people killed.
Yeah, and Blake, I believe that we're going to, the President Trump is going to rally his base around him. We've let it be known on this show, Charlie has on social media, that we are not keen on another quagmire in the Middle East. But here's the good news: neither is President Trump, and I think President Trump has earned our trust that he assessed the situation, he determined this was the best route forward. And we have to believe that he has intel that we don't have as far as Iran's capabilities on striking our troops and striking back. And by the way, Blake, I will just say that President Trump's tour through the Middle East and the Arab states recently is looming very large in my mind. He consolidated a lot of support, a lot of financial partnerships and cooperation. And plus, you've got the Abraham Accords. This is an area of the country that we have a lot of support
so,
in, actually. Or
hello,
the world.
Everybody. I'm here. I made it. We had some technical challenges. No, my home studio is not bombed this these tonight. Hello, everybody. Tonight's a very serious evening. I first just want to say we have to, regardless of your opinion of this operation, which I do want to hear about, this operation was done seamlessly. And you better believe the military capacity, the military might of the U.S. military was on full display for the world to see. This is an operation that really only the U.S. military can handle. And not even the Russian military would be able to do something like this. And I got to be honest, like, we did not even know what happened until it announced. Now, I had my phone off because of Shabbat, but now that I'm looking back at text, I was getting a
everything
little bit...
really big happens on Shabbat, like the Trump assassination.
Trump getting shot. No,
it's the other Trump assassination.
No, don't, exactly. Yeah. Don't get me started. So it's like, and so I was getting some, like three hours ahead of time, I was starting to get some like, hey, game on, but I didn't know because my phone was off and I have no regrets. So first of all, only the U.S. military would have been able to pull this off. And honestly, you know, we've kind of been, there's been some doomerism about the U.S. military. Like, oh, it's super weak, it's super woke. Well, actually, at the top levels for top level sophistication, like operations like this.
We still, for the most part, if it really matters, if it's like you have to fly the bomber that drops the bunker buster, or you have to be the special forces who rescue the president when he's kidnapped, those guys are pretty good.
Yes,
and that's, it's not great to have only those guys be the absolute best if that's what's happening. But
and God bless
good.
These pilots. It's a very difficult operation, and they crushed it. And so now to the and it's not at all to an easy assignment. So I sent out a couple tweets, and this is my personal perspective on this. And the president's going to be going live in about 20 minutes because his address is going to matter a lot. This is going to be one of the most important presidential addresses of the last 10 years. And definitely one of the most, if not the most important, primetime presidential address in President Trump's career. President Donald Trump has been clear for 20 years that Iran will not get a nuclear weapon. For 20 years, he has said that. Iran will not get a nuclear weapon. Now, for some people that are criticizing President Trump, your criticisms would have more potency if President Trump did not try to have a diplomatic solution beforehand. There was a 60-day diplomatic window, and Iran was just playing games. They were just going wishy and washy. I don't know if you want that. And President Trump said, look, on day 61, you're not going to like what happens. President Trump let Israel off the leash, and Israel did what Israel did. And President Donald Trump, he was very, very patient. He had a lot of restraint. Now, understand, this is not yet a settled issue at all. Because some people are still calling for regime change. Oh, go for the head of the snake. President Donald Trump has actually said, we are not going to do that. We are not going to do regime change. And for those of you just tuning in right now, I do want to hear from the audience. Can you email me right now, freedom@charliekirk.com? Did you vote for President Trump, number one? And number two, do you support this operation tonight? I'm curious. I want to hear from you, freedom@charliekirk.com. We're going to get probably 10,000 emails in the next couple of minutes. freedom@charliekirk.com. I have my email inbox up here and I'm going to read them. And so it is very tempting and very easy to do armchair quarterbacking in an operation like this. Oh, he should have done this. He's like, spare me. He had the weight of the world on his shoulders. Now understand how it is presented. If Iran were to get a nuclear weapon and proliferate nuclear technology, the chances of them using it is one thing, but it changes how seriously you must take that nation immediately. Like, we have to take Pakistan a lot more seriously just because they developed the nuclear weapon. So here you have a terrorist state that could potentially have a nuclear weapon. And when Trump speaks, you should absolutely listen. President Donald Trump in November of 2011 said, quote, Iran's quest for nuclear weapons is a major threat to our nation's national security interests. We can't allow Iran to go nuclear, period. Now, the tweet that I sent that has gone very viral, I'm going to read for you right on air. And it's very simple. And no, by the way, no one should be, I don't like the, I think that we have a very moderate, very America first perspective here. And let me tell you kind of the two different camps that I can't stand online right now. Number one is the rejoicing. People that are just overly celebrating, no, guys, got to have humility with this. These things can escalate. Americans can die. Simultaneously, the people that are just doomerism. Oh, this is World War III. Guys, come on. No. Sometimes in life, there's more than just a sloppy binary. And especially in this situation, you must have a lot of heaviness and say, okay, first of all, great for the American troops. President Trump had the weight of the world on his shoulders, sitting in the Oval Office looking at two separate options. And he made the choice with prudence and decisiveness. and practicality, and he saw this as a threat to United States national interest. Here is my tweet. Iran gave President Trump no choice. For a decade, he has been adamant that Iran will never get a nuclear weapon. Iran has decided to forego diplomacy in pursuit of a bomb. This is a surgical strike, operated perfectly. President Trump acted with prudence and decisiveness. Now, additionally, there was another... Let's actually read President Trump's Truth Social, which, by the way, is the first we heard of it. This is how amazing these B-2 bombers are. None of the Iranian... no one even knew.
Like, there was, I think when, like, Israel launched their initial strikes, there was, like, people in Lebanon being like, oh, yeah.
Oh, I see the planes.
Like, there's planes are flying overhead. This was just like, okay, 90 minutes later.
And by the way, we're live on Real America's Voice. We have 47,000 on YouTube. We're live on Rumble. I want to hear from you, freedom@charliekirk.com. Do you support what America did tonight? freedom@charliekirk.com. I'm going to read the emails in a second here. And so here's what Donald Trump said. It was the Truth Social heard around the world. And the Truth Social heard around the world is this. We have completed our very successful attack on 3 nuclear sites in Iran, including Fordow, Natanz, and Isfahan. All planes are now outside of Iranian airspace, and our payloads of bombs was dropped on the primary site. Bombs, all capitalized, by the way. All planes are safely on their way home. Congratulations to our great American warriors. There is not another military in the world that could have done this. Now is the time for peace. Thank you for your attention to this matter.
He always says that.
I love that. Right, yeah. Now, and by the way, the President Trump doing this, he's also had another one following up saying that Iran better not respond. So now really all eyes are on Iran at this point. Iran has a lot of options. I have heard estimates from people in the intel world that there could be upwards of 1,000 sleeper cells here in America. Could be. Again, that could be fear-mongering. That could be BS. It could be 0. It could be 100. But we don't know because Joe Biden had a wide-open border. And that, by the way, that President Trump had to factor that into his decision. In some ways, you're almost kind of pinned up against a wall when you do something like this. Like, hey, if you bomb Fordow, all of a sudden Joe Biden's open border invaders might come after you. Number two, right now, the prayers need to go for the American troops that are in U.S. bases within Iranian ballistic missile proximity. Can we put up a map there, Blake? There definitely is one in Qatar. So the Qatar airbase is outside of Doha. It's in the middle of the desert. So Qatar is one of the smallest of the Gulf states. You can actually see Qatar right there on the southern part of your map. It's right between the Persian Gulf. From the northern most point of Qatar to Iran, it's only like, what is that, Blake? 100 miles, 250 miles, maybe? Mm-hmm. I'm approximating. So the American Air Force base is very, very remote. That is a juicy potential target for Iran. Now, Iran actually has a warmer relationship with Qatar than they do Saudi Arabia, so that would be potentially a very risky thing. Now, remember, though, this is a very important component. When Donald Trump took out Soleimani in 2020, Iran did try to kill American troops. It was not just performative. In fact, I was talking to a high-level guy in the U.S. government last night, and he says, Charlie, you might not remember, when we took out Soleimani, as soon as we took out Soleimani, all the bases are on high alert. So here's how this works. All the bases go on high alert. Right now, they have all the planes fully, literally, they have engines running. They have cars ready to go. You could tell when a ballistic missile is taking off, and because of our technology, we could tell within a couple of miles where that ballistic missile is going to go. So we have right now full radar capacity all over Iran. As soon as a ballistic missile starts going, because ballistic missiles have to go up and they go down, right? They're different than javelins, right? Where they can kind of go a little bit more horizontal. These go up, they go down. As soon as we have a vague idea that there might be a ballistic missile launch near Qatar, one of our bases, there will be an evacuation order. Now, understand, when they struck one of our bases in Iraq in 2020 after we took out Qassem Soleimani, they literally hit a tent that a lot of service members would be sleeping in. They hit their target, and they killed how many troops? 0. Because our military was properly prepared. So the prayer right now is if Iran tries to go after one of our military bases, that all of this preparation ends up kind of coming to fruition. So what does that mean? That means that they're going to be able to go into bunkers. Now, by the way, some of the troops got concussions, but they didn't die. And these bases are on the highest level alert. Now, there are Patriot defensive missile systems as well that could be launched and intercept partially ballistic missiles. Blake, you want to try?
Yeah, I just want to. We have an image up there that we got off Council of Foreign Relations. So this is U.S. military presence in the Middle East, basically as of right now. They keep this pretty regularly updated. Any of those red dots you can see are active U.S.-controlled bases. There's a bunch of them in Kuwait. We have, I think, 13,000 troops mm-hmm. in Kuwait. That is 100. I bet at the closest those bases are maybe 100 miles from Iran.
Correct,
blink of an
which
eye.
Is nothing.
Big legacy, obviously, nothing. From the Iraq war, both Iraq wars. Then, yeah, as you mentioned, that air base in Qatar, that's a very large one. We also have a base in Bahrain. We have a base in UAE. And any of these orange dots are places that have some kind of U.S. military presence. So we have some troops in Saudi Arabia. We still have troops in Iraq. We have troops in southeastern Syria. We have troops in Jordan. We have guys all over the place. We also have naval vessels. We have the Carl Vinson carrier. We have the Nimitz carrier, I believe, was on the way from the Indian Ocean. And those can be vulnerable, too. Iran has a naval force that is actually designed for the level, like the huge gap between Iran's capabilities and our own. They have a lot of motorboats. They have guys who can, frankly, do suicide attacks on our ships. So if they decide to go very aggressive, you might see something
where... Well, and sleeper... I know that you might roll your eyes. Some people roll their eyes at sleeper cells. But let's just put it this way. Mm-hmm. Forget sleeper cell. What if there's just a sympathetic Iranian?
Mm-hmm.
Like a sympathetic Mohammedan that's here, you know, potentially, that might...
Radicals, what if a guy just gets angry and he goes and he rents a U-Haul truck and he drives it through a 4th of July celebration? Those are happening in a couple of weeks.
So, I mean, so again, I'm not here to fearmonger. I'm just looking... We're going through here... Just factual threat analysis. Now, we're getting tons of emails, freedom@charliekirk.com. And based on the chat, my team is saying it's about 50-50. Let me tell you where I stand. And you guys know. And by the way, one day I'll tell you everything I did this week. Blake knows. But all I can say is that my position privately has been my position publicly. I trust President Trump, and I've been very consistent. But I have and still do know that when you enter situations like this, they can escalate. I've always been against a nuclear weapon. No one wants a nuclear weapon. If you want Iran to have a nuclear weapon, that's a completely irrational position. I have no time for that. Okay? The more important question, though, and we're going to see, okay, did this actually take out Iran's nuclear program completely? We don't know. Did it delay? Did it buy us time? That is a situation that is kind of unclear. It's a little bit murky. Number two, though, and I think this is a very important component, which is how many Americans might get caught in the crosshairs in response. And we should pray that that number is zero. We should pray that that number is zero. And then number three, which I think is critical and that I've kind of been insistent about, is can we make sure that this does not now go up an escalatory ladder? Can we just say in, out, and done? President Trump's Truth Social was basically a foreshadowing, like he wants this to be like Soleimani. I take your guy out, you go launch some missiles, we're done. Now, here's where it might get very hairy, and this is where, for those of you at home, should pray, and we should keep a close eye on this. By the way, this all might happen right now. There might be Iranian response tonight. We got President Trump speaking in 15 minutes, because President Trump said if you even lay a finger on a U.S. service member, they're going to have problems. If they take out a U.S. service member, and then President Trump responds with more, you know, more bombs, that could end up being an escalation. My premise has been this. Is it going to be effective? Iran claims they got all the Iranian out. I think they're just a bunch of liars. Okay. I mean, we don't know. Right. I mean, we're going to trust Iran's, you know, that sounds like
a major
code.
They said a lot of things in the last week.
By the way, I mean, first of all, can we just say whether you're for or against this, the Iranian social media game is the worst in the history of the digital world. Tonight,
just AI slop.
So, right, I'm going to throw to Andrew. Tonight, there will be something that will be heard for centuries to come. Really? What? Like, okay, they launched some missiles. Like, okay, for centuries to come. I mean, just give me a break. So the final point on this, and again, I've been very, very consistent, both privately and publicly, in all of my advocacy and my commentary. My thing was this: exhaust every possible option before this, because again, I don't like the people that are rejoicing. You should not enter into situations like war with pride. Can we get shock and awe? Can we get the night we went into Iraq, shock and awe news reports? Because we thought, oh my goodness, it's all away. When we drop bombs, it should be done with heaviness. It should be done with humility. I'm not saying we never should. I'm not a dove. I'm not an isolationist. No one watching this program, I think, has that opinion. But when you do it, you should not get a thrill up your leg like Chris Matthews when you're listening to Barack Obama. It should not give you some sort of, some sort of deep excitement. Let me put it that way. Andrew, before I throw it to you here, what is the chatter like online, especially amongst some of the MAGA online folks, like the MAGA youth folks? Where is the sentiment? Where is the chatter, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, there's some doomerism, Charlie, saying, you know, Trump's lost 80% of his base. This is a betrayal. You know, see, this is always how it's going to go. I completely disagree with that sentiment. I think there's a lot of people that are very online. I think
I totally agree. I think the doomerism.
Yeah, and I would also say X has become kind of a bot-riddled place right now. Musk is aware of it, and there's a lot of reports that are suggesting that the bots are trying to sow division in MAGA. I want to give you credit, Charlie. You have been steadfast, even at times when I would waver or when Blake would throw out contrarian positions. You have been steadfast, you have succeeded in frustrating both sides, remaining true to your beliefs that we should not rush into this with some sort of zeal or a fevered, desire for war and just to drop bombs. Some of our friends haven't understood it. A lot of our enemies have doubted your position, and I just want to say it's been consistent and sincere. And you've had the president's back in spite of that. And I want to give you a hat tip because you don't get enough credit for that, Charlie.
Well, thank you. It means a lot, and it's been a unusual week because I've had friends in different camps annoyed, and it seems that everyone that isn't like either no intervention or like hyper intervention actually has been very appreciative. And by the way, the show is doing better than ever as a result. People seem that are very, I think, fair and nuanced and take measuring in the complexities has been, very, very well received. So that's very kind, Andrew. Thank you. And by the way, so tonight, my take is very simple. We trust the commander in chief and his judgment. We don't know all the intelligence that was in front of him. Now, by the way, there has to also be an understanding that for those of you that are like overly celebratory, I just want to try to humble you. You don't know how tonight is going to end. You might say tonight is an awesome night. It is in some ways so far, but we don't know how tonight's. Can we get some of the B-roll here? Basically, I mean, Fordo looks like Mordor. We're honored to be partnering with the Alan Jackson Ministries, and today I want to point you to their podcast. It's called Culture and Christianity, the Alan Jackson Podcast. What makes it unique is Pastor Alan's biblical perspective. He takes the truth from the Bible and applies it to issues that we're facing today: gender confusion, abortion, immigration, Doge, Trump, and the White House, issues in the church. He doesn't just discuss the problems. In every episode, he gives practical things we can do to make a difference. His guests have incredible expertise and powerful testimonies. Each episode will make you recognize the power of your faith and how God can use your life to impact our world today. The Culture and Christianity Podcast is informative and encouraging. You could find it on YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Alan Jackson Ministries is working hard to get biblical truth back into our culture. You can find out more about Pastor Alan and the ministry at alanjackson.com. That is alanjackson.com. Again, that is alanjackson.com.
And Trump is speaking in 10 minutes, by the way.
So in 10 minutes, we're going to take that live. And by the way, I'm texting with all the guys in the admin right now, trying to get a pulse. I'm, texting with all the main decision makers and stakeholders. We're going to get Jack Posobiec on here in a second. And so The situation that's where we're seeing right now. We just want to make sure all that is real B-roll, by the way, as we're playing it.
So it says it looks very odd or
I don't know what
we
that
have
is.
Sound. No, it looks strange. So
it looks. I mean, I don't know. So what happens next? Here's the best case scenario. The best case scenario is that on July 4th, everyone forgets about this. It kind of just goes into our memory. There is no real stickiness. There's really no permanency to all of this. And, we get to say, okay, we move on. Iran has been completely derailed. A kind of worst-case scenario is that this escalates and that it forces our hand in a situation that we might not like. But Iran, they're playing with fire here. If Iran decides to get engaged and gets involved, boy, that will be that will not be a good decision for them. Can we get Netanyahu's speech here? Netanyahu has said, quote, "Congratulations, President Trump." I do want to hear from you also, though, in the audience, supportive, not supportive, and also, do you remain pro-Israel? I am curious, has this changed your opinion at all of whether or not you are in favor of Israel? freedom@charliekirk.com. I'm reading all the emails live. I'm scanning through them. freedom@charliekirk.com. So let's first go here. This is actually a very important map. This is in, they say Farsi, that's the speech, the dialect in Iran. So this is Iranian state TV displaying a map of U.S. military bases in the Middle East, promising retaliation. So these are a lot of sitting ducks, but understand, they're sitting ducks, but as soon as they know that there's going to be a launch, airplanes will get up in the air. Back when they did this with the Iraqi retaliation, when they went after a Iraqi base, they were literally boom, 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 boom. There were 15 planes that got up in the air, and they literally circled in the air, Blake, until the ballistic missiles hit. And they actually hit where the planes were. Now, the most important and trickiest part was, where do you land the planes? And so there were some close calls, actually. So they were circling. 15 planes were circling. They hit the runways because they were going after all these guys, the ballistic missiles were. And so they had to go find runways that were long enough to be able to land, like, F-16s. An untold amazing story of the response to the Soleimani. So here's Iranian state TV. Mr. Trump, you started it, and we will end it. Look how many military bases there are within ballistic missile range. So the U.S. has committed a crime against Iran by violating Iran's airspace, and it has no place in the West Asian region. The President of the United States, you started it, and we will finish it. Okay, great. These guys are a lot of talk, by the way. They've been nothing but talk since Israel has bombed them. Blake. Yeah,
I just want to flag. We got this donation on Rumble from Sir Ianokai, but he says he is messaging with people close to where the bombs dropped. Yep. Don't know if this is true, but he's saying it. Even though scary, they are happy America dropped the bombs. He says 80% of Iran, I assume, don't support the current regime, love America, and want peace. I think we would all be very happy if that's true. I would caution. I think it's very easy for people to believe this because who are the Iranians you're most likely to have contact with? It's going to be the people who are most open to the West, most pro-Western, probably the most urbanized. This is a country of 92 million people. And I think you can easily imagine that, say, when you're talking about America.
Yes.
Imagine someone who's like, well, I live in Brooklyn, and you know everyone I know hates Trump. Trump has a 0% approval rating. There's no people who like Trump. Yeah, okay, go to rural Ohio, go to the Dakotas, go to Montana. Iran has its equivalent of all those places.
So I'd say the emails are about 50-50 right now, support and oppose. Now, if you email me, freedom@charliekirk.com, I want to hear from you. Please include your age. Please include your age. I'm curious if the age has any determining factor of whether you support or oppose this. And you might say, Charlie, do you support or oppose this? I support President Trump. That's my answer. I know the man. He's the commander-in-chief. He's the man for the hour, and he's had the weight of the world on his shoulders. So in a situation like this, I support my friend, and he's had my back, and I have his. That's my perspective. By the way, I also look at this, and I say, and I understand the arguments of people that, you know, oh, don't intervene and all that. I get it. But boy, have we not exhausted so many diplomatic channels and options. Here is Netanyahu, 261, praising and congratulating President Trump. Play cut 261.
Congratulations, President Trump. Your bold decision to target Iran's nuclear facilities with the awesome and righteous might of the United States will change history. In Operation Rising Lion, Israel has done truly amazing things. But in tonight's action against Iran's nuclear facilities, America has been truly unsurpassed. It has done what no other country on earth could do. History will record that President Trump acted to deny the world's most dangerous regime the world's most dangerous weapons. His leadership today has created a pivot of history that can help lead the Middle East and beyond to a future of prosperity and peace. President Trump and I often say, peace through strength. First comes strength, then comes peace. And tonight, President Trump and the United States acted with a lot of strength. President Trump, I thank you. The people of Israel thank you. The forces of civilization thank you. God bless America. God bless Israel. And may God bless our unshakable alliance, our unbreakable faith.
So, interesting wardrobe choice, the red tie. Yeah.
If you search Bibi's speech, he almost always wears a blue tie that matches the Israeli flag, of
yeah.
course.
No, he did wear a red tie when he met with President Trump in the cabinet room at one time. So maybe I'm reading too much into it. And so, by the way, we are about 180 seconds out from the scheduled start of President Trump's speech that he will be giving here. By the way, let me just say, I'm going to be listening to every word, every syllable. And you're going to want to tune in here right when President Trump is done, because we can decode and kind of give you a little bit of an interpretation of what's going on, I think, better than anybody else. Because, I mean, look, I've known the man for 10 years and I've spent a lot of time with him. I just saw him this last week. And so this is going to be one of the most important, one of the most high stakes, one of the most pressure filled, one of the most important speeches in President Trump's career. In fact, I could make an argument. This is one of the highest stakes foreign policy primetime addresses since Barack Obama addressing the nation when he took out Osama bin Laden. Do you remember where you were in that? I remember where I was.
So, true story, I was in Greece on a study abroad, so I was asleep when it happened.
I remember watching it. It was big league stuff. And then, since that address, Barack Obama addressing the annihilation of Osama bin Laden, the whole country cheered, I think this is the largest... let's just say the biggest, highest stakes moment of foreign policy.
The stakes are a lot higher.
Oh, the stakes
Obama,
are. By the way,
Obama could just spike the football.
That
he's
was
like,
a victory.
He's dead. Yeah.
No, I'm saying, but that was very memorable, very mm-hmm. historic. Now it's gonna be very interesting. Will President Trump do this from the Oval? Will he do this from the East Room? Jack, I might cut you off at any time here. We have the legendary Jack Posobiec here. Jack got right into the chair. Jack, just from a military standpoint first, we have plenty of time to break apart all of the politics here. Jack, what are you seeing and hearing? Phenomenal precision on behalf of the U.S. military. And if I cut you off, it's because President Trump will go live. Jack.
Well, Charlie, of course, and yes, we're all waiting to hear President Trump go live. Does certainly seem like an incredible precision strike by the U.S. military. And of course, Charlie, this is what those pilots train for. This is what those military aircraft train for every single day. The refueling capabilities, the operational security that was done here. Of course, this is in many ways a routine run, at least in terms of training, but also not routine in terms of the target and in terms of the heightened politics and just entire tension in the entire region here. But of course, with the air defenses degraded, as we've been reporting all week with Iran, it seemed like a time that President Trump was able to make his decision. He yep. did make his decision. And of course, the question has always about the safety of those pilots seems to have been a completely successful run. As far as myself, you know, with my intel officer hat on, want to really see what the exact battle damage assessment was. We knew that it would take more than one of these bombs. We're told that it was six so far in the initial reports. And of course, we're also hearing about Tomahawk missiles launched at a few other of the nuclear sites from submarines within the region. So, you know, really want to hear what damage did this do? Did this completely take out Fordo? Does it need to be hit again? What's really the situation on the ground? And of course, whether or not Iran responds is going to be the big question. NBC saying that President Trump is expected to address that very question, because there's a lot of troops that we have within the region that are certainly going to be on edge tonight, a lot of bases that are going to be on edge tonight. And for folks that are sitting out there, I think that they know, those folks that are in uniform, the men and women are in uniform right now, they know that they have a commander in chief who absolutely has their back. They have a Secretary of Defense in Pete Hegseth who always puts the war fighter first, and that's exactly who they are going to be listening to when they tune into the president's words in just a few moments.
So here, by the way, at any moment here, we might throw to President Trump at 7:01. I know the whole, I know the White House very well. I said he's going to be late. My guess is, I don't want to play any odds. I don't know. Tonight's a big night, but I don't think he's going to be sharp at 7. I think at least 10 to 15
He won't
minutes.
Wait too long. He wants those ratings, too. And, you know, at 11:30, people start going to bed.
I know, but this is big. This is big. They got to make sure every word is correct. And so, by the way, the emails we're getting, freedom@charliekirk.com, the younger you are, the emails we're getting, the more critical you are of this operation. The older you are, the more supportive. And so that is playing out, freedom@charliekirk.com. And by the way, in our podcast all week, and you guys can subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, we're going to be covering this in great detail with unbelievable specificity. You guys can subscribe. We'll be doing a giveaway in a little bit, by the way, for everyone that subscribes, that we've been talking about the age and generational difference, that like over 40, you're more sympathetic, under 40, not sympathetic. Guess what? I'm 31. I'm here to keep the coalition together, guys. By the way, no doomerism. People say, oh, World War III, you know, Trump's losing his support. No, guys, hold on. This is June of Trump's, forget my thoughts, President Trump, one of the most important addresses in American history. Let's watch.
Thank you very much. A short time ago, the U.S. military carried out massive precision strikes on the three key nuclear facilities in the Iranian regime, Fordo, Natanz, and Esfahan. Everybody heard those names for years as they built this horribly destructive enterprise. Our objective was the destruction of Iran's nuclear enrichment capacity and a stop to the nuclear threat posed by the world's number one state sponsor of terror. Tonight, I can report to the world that the strikes were a spectacular military success. Iran's key nuclear enrichment facilities have been completely and totally obliterated. Iran, the bully of the Middle East, must now make peace. If they do not, future attacks will be far greater and a lot easier. For 40 years, Iran has been saying, death to America, death to Israel. They have been killing our people, blowing off their arms, blowing off their legs with roadside bombs. That was their specialty. We lost over 1,000 people, and hundreds of thousands throughout the Middle East and around the world have died as a direct result of their hate. In particular, so many were killed by their general, Qasem Soleimani. I decided a long time ago that I would not let this happen. It will not continue. I want to thank and congratulate Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu. We worked as a team like perhaps no team has ever worked before. And we've gone a long way to erasing this horrible threat to Israel. I want to thank the Israeli military for the wonderful job they've done. And most importantly, I want to congratulate the great American patriots who flew those magnificent machines tonight and all of the United States military on an operation the likes of which the world has not seen in many, many decades. Hopefully, we will no longer need their services in this capacity. I hope that's so. I also want to congratulate the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dan Raisin Kane, spectacular general, and all of the brilliant military minds involved in this attack. With all of that being said, this cannot continue. There will be either peace or there will be tragedy for Iran far greater than we have witnessed over the last 8 days. Remember, there are many targets left. Tonight's was the most difficult of them all, by far, and perhaps the most lethal. But if peace does not come quickly, we will go after those other targets with precision, speed, and skill. Most of them can be taken out in a matter of minutes. There's no military in the world that could have done what we did tonight, not even close. There has never been a military that could do what took place just a little while ago. Tomorrow, General Kane, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth will have a press conference at 8 a.m. at the Pentagon. And I want to just thank everybody, and in particular, God. I want to just say we love you, God, and we love our great military. Protect them. God bless the Middle East. God bless Israel. And God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, well, first of all, what a visual. You got J.D. Vance, you got Marco Rubio, you got Pete Hegseth. What a difference between Tony Blinken and Lloyd Austin and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. So That was very fast, as I would expect. It was short. It was straight to the point. It was exactly what I would expect from President Trump. Now, we're getting the full transcript. We're going to replay some of the more details of the speech here. Look at that lineup right there. That's Team America. You got J.D. Vance. You got Donald Trump, Marco Rubio. You got Pete Hegseth. And by the way, I am the most vocal person that says no endless wars. At the moment we're at in right now, this is not by any means yet showing that we're going to get into a whole nother endless war. It can get there. You can always run the risk. That's always been my contention. But I have full faith in President Trump to navigate this. And might say, oh, Charlie, what evidence do you have to support that? Donald Trump took out ISIS without getting us in an endless war. ISIS. Donald Trump bombed the Houthis without getting us into an endless war. Donald Trump took out Soleimani without getting us into an endless war. Donald Trump moved the embassy to Jerusalem without getting us into an endless war. And so the elements and the details around this are Donald Trump decided to act with the authority given to him to go take out Iran's nuclear facility. I want to try to get to Jack here in a second, but first I want you guys to email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Your thoughts on President Trump's address, please include your age. We're also going to be doing a series tonight of signed giveaways. If you guys want a signed hat, we're happy to send a couple out. freedom@charliekirk.com if you subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast and send us proof of subscription, freedom@charliekirk.com. Okay, Jack, your thoughts. Jack, on President Trump's address and this very important night.
Well, Charlie, you know, and I'm looking at the transcript now, President Trump saying we've gone a long way into eliminating this threat, saying that I decided a long time ago I would not let this happen. I will not let it continue. And it's true, Charlie, and we've been highlighting online, you've been highlighting online as well, how President Trump's statements going back to the 1980s are directly targeting Iran and not allowing them to have a nuclear weapon one way or the other. Now, of course, Steve Witkoff was pursuing the diplomatic route. President Trump has decided that that diplomatic route was not bearing fruit, or certainly wasn't bearing fruit as quickly as he had hoped, and that's why he authorized this strike. But President Trump has gone back even to day one when he came down the escalator, and people have, of course, focused more on his statements about mass deportations, and certainly we support that. And he also said, though, on that very same day, it was kind of overlooked, but he also said in that initial speech 10 years ago this week, I'm looking at the date, that Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. So 10 years ago, he made that promise to the American people on day one. And as of today, he is coming out and reporting that he has obliterated the nuclear weapons program of Iran.
All right, so now I want to try to get into some of the politics here and break it into our team here. We got Blake, we have Andrew, we have Jack Posobiec. And also, you guys can become a member here. For the first 100 people that become a member, members.charliekirk.com, we will send you a signed book, members.charliekirk.com, or hat, whichever one you guys want, whichever you like better, members.charliekirk.com. That's members.charliekirk.com. So let's talk about the politics here. Andrew, what are you looking at online? It seems as if people are getting ahead of themselves. There's people that are getting really fired up. Andrew, your thoughts.
Yeah, Hakeem Jeffries, the first Dem leader statement that I've seen, he's saying Donald Trump promised to bring peace to the Middle East. He has failed on that promise. The risk of war is now dramatically increased, and I pray for the safety of our troops. President Trump misled the country, blah, blah, blah. So President Trump's enemies in Congress, Hakeem Jeffries, are pouncing. Democrats pounce, Charlie. Notably, we've seen John Fetterman is in support of the strikes and praised them pretty quickly. I think there's a lot of support that's consolidating around President Trump right now. A lot of people saying we trust him. Wait and see. That's basically the gist. There is some doomerism, you know, losing all of his base. What I'm seeing is it's less than I would have predicted. And so I think that's a good sign that, and listen, I said this before you joined the stream, Charlie, I think President Trump is going to rally the base around him. Yep. I think President Trump has earned our support. If this gets drawn out and messy, obviously all options then become, you know, possible, but I think President Trump is going to get the base around him. I think this press conference with Hegseth in the morning is going to be telling. I think the messaging that we see out of the White House for the next week is going to be really important, and they need to be on their game. But you know, listen, we didn't want this. We didn't want war. But we trust the president, and we certainly don't want Iran to have nukes. So we're going to see how it plays out in the next couple of days, Charlie. But I predict that he's going to win the basis.
Andrew, your internet's breaking up a little bit, but I think we got the last part of that. And so there's some people that are doing super chats. Some are pretty hostile.
Some are definitely hostile.
Look, we have to get the variety opinion here.
Yeah. And I can read some.
Yeah, read some of them. So, by the way, these are not Blake's opinions. These are people that pay for it.
I'm just going
to
read. A lot of these are from YouTube. I'll thank you. Blackest Panther says this is the same excuse they used to get us to invade Iraq. It's a reasonable argument. I think it's a little different.
The nuclear
program is at least real. 100% real. No one disputes it as real.
The weapons of mass destruction were.
It is clearly. I mean, even Iran is like, we got the uranium out. Not a thing with Iraq. So we should at least acknowledge that.
And can I make one other differentiation? Like, mm-hmm. President Trump has said no ground troops. Iraq was a purely ground, like a majorly
yes.
ground troop.
And so far that hasn't happened, and we would definitely all oppose that. ASFX donated $10. He says, I thank God that Trump is supportive of the idea that people who chant death to America should not have nukes. Thank you for that. Let's see. Ricky, thank you for $5. I can't read yours because you have a swear word in it, and this is a family-friendly broadcast. Debbie, thank you for $10. Mad Max, somewhere in the whatever location you believe he is right now, John McCain's ghost is laughing because Trump chose Israel first. That is a take we're going to see. I think Trump is choosing America first. You can argue about what America First amounts to, but I think it's unfair to say he's just like doing someone else's bidding. Vicky Burton just gave us $20. Thank you very much for that, Vicky. And it's extremely difficult to scroll through YouTube, so I can't actually get to all of these. Overkill, thank you for $2. He says Trump is the one who ripped up the nuclear deal. That's another perspective. Is we had the nuclear deal with Iran. Was it wise to get rid of that? Again, different opinions on that. Some said Iran was breaking the deal. Some said it just wasn't a very good deal in the first place, and we gave Iran a ton of money in return for nothing. Wouldn't be the first time we gave a country a ton of money in return for nothing, so that's a highly believable take. But again, thank you to everyone for your donations, and I think Charlie wants to say something here.
No, any others or no?
I mean, just there a ton are just keep coming in now. Barbara Metz, $5. Trump is 1,000% for America. RR, $5. He says Israel dogged walked us into another conflict. There is no sugarcoating this. James Lawrence, $5. U.S. has been taken advantage of for too long. This move is more than just correcting Iran's mistakes. Full display. Actually, I'm not sure if that's pro or anti. Dhruv Rajan, $20. Thank you. I worry that Trump, I believe, is destroying his bench. Tulsi Gabbard, J.D. Vance, Pete Hegseth, and Marco Rubio have lost their anti-war credibility. Who do we have left? If this escalates, Democrats have an easier 2028 victory. So a wide spectrum of opinion that we're getting here.
So online things are getting pretty hot. And look, I've been around this for 10 years. I've been in this space. And a general rule is when things get really hot and people get really excited, just take a deep breath because it's usually not as bad as you think it is. And no, this is not the end of the coalition, and this is not the things are not falling apart. And look, the track record of President Trump is phenomenal here, whether it be Soleimani, al-Baghdadi, the Houthis. And you can all share those concerns. I share some of those concerns. And a lot of what happens in the Middle East tends to escalate. President Trump has phenomenal instincts, though. And President Trump also has a commitment. He doesn't want to invade Iran. He doesn't want to have a ground invasion. He also is not calling for regime change. Lindsey Graham, you hear that screaming? He's mad. Oh, no, we want regime change. YRefi.com, privacy loan debt in America totals about $300 billion. YRefi has been an amazing partner of us, and it's only getting started. They were a huge supporter of our Young Women's Leadership Summit, game changer, largest ever. Go to YRefi.com, that is YREFY.com. You don't have to ignore that mountain of student loan statements on your kitchen table anymore. YRefi offers a 3-minute rate check without any credit impact. Go to yrefi.com. Let's face it, if you have distressed or defaulted private student loans, nobody is coming to bail you out. And bankruptcy is not an option. But you could take charge of your situation by contacting yrefi. Go to yrefi.com. That is yrefi.com. That is yrefi.com. Many clients are not able to even make the first monthly payment on their private student loans when they contact yrefi. Go to yrefi.com. Again, they don't care what your credit score is. You got to check it out right now at yrefi.com. Yrefi is not a debt settlement company, and they work with each borrower individually, tailoring each loan to each borrower's specific situation. You will not be calling a faceless call center. Go to yrefi.com. That is yrefi.com. Jack, what are you seeing online? Is it dividing the MAGA faithful online? It's getting a little hot, I could say. Like, that definitely there's been a little bit of a heat up here. Jack, just give us kind of like an analysis, not your own opinion, just give us an analysis of what's happening here.
Yeah, Charlie, I'm seeing that that split that you're talking about. You know, some people are totally supportive, some people saying that 100% behind this, that this was great. Other people, and by the way, you know, these are some folks who are diehard MAGA. I'm talking about diehard MAGA faithfuls. I'm not talking about like the Never Trumpers or some of these other buckets here. I'm talking about just people that I'm, you know, that I know have always supported Trump. You know, full support. You know, making fun of Obama. Some of the memes are flying. You know, Obama crying, and it says, "When Trump destroys the facilities you helped pay for." Okay, that one's actually pretty funny. But then you're also seeing a lot of people saying that, you know, this is difficult. This is dangerous. You know, it's going to be very, you know, the response is going to, the Iran's response is really going to dictate what comes next. A lot of folks saying, hey, can we focus now back on deporting illegal aliens, and saying, look, you know, this foreign policy contest was obviously the biggest foreign policy test of President Trump going forward. And so now can we get back to domestic policy? Other people say, you know, a lot of people actually asking about what the, you know, what the actual sit rep is, the tactical report, strategic report, what happened at the bases. You're seeing a lot of interest in that. You know, we haven't seen, you know, a lot of released footage from the, you know, from this as well. But a lot of Gen Z, you know, I got to say, Charlie, it echoes what you're saying in that YouTube chat. Gen Z very much saying, why are we putting another country ahead when we have problems here? Because, you know, Gen Z, I don't think they ran through, you know, they lived through the Iran hostage crisis. They didn't live through the war on terror. They didn't live through so many of these things that a lot of other people have been through. They've only lived through, you know, they lived through a world that's in the shadow of 9/11. You know, they probably don't even have any direct memories of 9/11 itself. And so, you know, you're seeing a lot of that backlash among Gen Z.
Can you read some of Sean Davis's tweets here? Very sharp commentary, please. Blake.
Yeah, so we have Sean, and I'll acknowledge, Andrew said these were his thoughts as well, so I want to get here. America is now in a very difficult and dangerous spot. Our next steps depend entirely on the response of a regime we were told is suicidal, insane, and an imminent threat to us and everyone else. That means we now have to pray those claims about them being suicidal and aggressive, which were used to justify our attacks, were wrong, and that no retaliation occurs. A thing I don't hear a lot, this is now me talking, you know, like modern Iran, the reason Iran is Shia, it was founded by kind of a, I don't know how else to describe it, like an apocalyptic Islamic movement. There was the founder of modern Iran claimed he was the Mahdi, who's kind of a messianic in Islam, that he is basically the 12th Imam returned, who will kind of bring about the end of the world. And multiple Muslims since have claimed to be that figure, but like the founder of modern Iran claimed he was that, and then he lost a big battle, and he really believed it, and I think he died an alcoholic basically as a result. But so yeah, you have, you know, their legacy is they follow a religion that kind of has a vision of what the end of the world will be like, and it involves a messianic Islamic figure destroying the enemies of Islam. And we do have to worry, like, will they embrace this apocalyptic ideology in the face of U.S. strikes, or will they think, okay, things are getting a little too hot, like, let's take the hand that is offered to us? And we can hope they do, but I feel like America's offered them a hand quite a few times. President Trump signaled repeatedly, I would like to not bomb you. Please do not make me bomb you. And now he decided he had to bomb them.
100%. And by the way, that's the other part here, everybody. I hope everyone in the audience is internalizing this. The people that say, oh, I'm against the bombing, which, by the way, totally respectable position. And if you have concerns, I get it. I share some of them. But if you're just inherently against this, let me just kind of press pause. Trump exhausted a diplomatic channel on multiple occasions, and Iran was not interested in it. Why was Iran not interested? Because they really thought, for whatever reason, President Trump was not, he was not going to do this. Now, I also have to simultaneously caution everybody in the audience that is cheerleading the bombing of this facility, which is, by no measure, is this a death blow to the nuclear program. A nuclear program is a mindset. It's going to set them back significantly, maybe years. I mean, the facilities are not child's play. The Persian people are very smart, point. Though. What'd you say, Andrew?
It's a huge point, Charlie. I think that what you're saying is spot on, because this is the problem that we've been talking about. Can you actually stop the nuclear program without a regime change? And if you can't, then we're just getting deeper into a regime change. And that's been the argument the whole time. I mean, you've got guys like Bridge, right, that are saying that, you know, they're actually a rational actor. They posture, but they're a rational actor. So this has been the conflict that we've been struggling through, because there's no good options in Iran. It's 92 million people. They're a proud people, a strong people. It is a mindset. And I totally agree with what the point you're making. Sorry I chimed in.
No, it's great. No, it's fine. But here is the, do you want the bleaker, bearish view here? Outside of Americans getting killed from an Iranian perspective, there is a reading here. I don't think it's likely. I'd probably give it a 30-40% chance that they are backed up against a wall, and this becomes an internal rallying cry. The Ayatollah and his gang of crazy people stay in power, and they say, oh, America, you think you could take out our nuclear program? This is now priority number one. We're going to do it anyway. We're going to enrich uranium. If you bomb us, we'll reconfigure. If you bomb us, we'll reconfigure. There will be no stopping us. Now, if that is their attitude, that will force the Israelis' hand to try to take out oil fields and take out electricity. But I just want everybody to understand, a nuclear program is at its core a mindset. Now, yes, this is a timeline changer. What President Trump did tonight is a timeline disruption. However, can you guys get Tom Cotton? Tom Cotton was on Sean Hannity's program, and Sean Hannity's program was really good about an hour ago, and Tom Cotton said something that was just not right. He said something on Fox. He got a little bit too excited. Do you know what Tom Cotton said? He said, this has completely wiped out all of Iranians' nuclear program. That is not correct. What it has is it knocked out their nuclear capability. So I'm going to educate you guys on something. There's two different words here, and they matter. Nuclear program, nuclear capability. Those are not the same thing. So one would be like, let's just use a football analogy. If you bomb a practice field, you have just bombed a football field's football capability. But they still have a football program.
Yeah.
They can adjust.
A football team is the players. It's the mindset. Coaches.
It's the philosophy.
It's the general knowledge.
You know what a great example this is? When the Marshall football team died in the plane crash.
Yeah.
Do you remember when the Marshall football team died in the plane crash back in like the 70s or 80s? The program actually was still alive. They decided to, you know, we're going to bring more people on there. It was a great movie. What's that movie called?
We Are Marshall.
We Are Marshall. And so we got to read a lot of these super chats. But I just want all of you guys to understand that by the way, this might have delivered just about a demoralizing death blow where the Mullers are like, we're done. This is like, by the way, they took 20 years building Fordo and a ton of money. Now, here is the kicker. And then let's get there. What is the most important ingredient, everybody? The most important ingredient, money. If Donald Trump keeps the heavy sanctions on, it's going to be very hard for Iran to finance a nuclear capability. So you got nuclear program, nuclear capability. Their capabilities have now been significantly neutered. Their program is still alive. Let's go to some super chats here, Blake.
Great. I just want to get these because people pay for them, so we should acknowledge them. Let's get some ones on Rumble. Shoenek gave $10 on Rumble. He said, this is completely different. Trump hit them so hard, they have to reconsider. This isn't like Obama with all of the regulations. I assume he meant sanctions there. Thank you, Shoenek. We have Casper Milktoast donated $20 on Rumble. Thank you for covering this. I am an active duty service member, age 36. I support this incursion. That's a very valid input. N West 5150 donated $10. Trump recognized God's involvement. That is a strong foundation to start at. And R. Hirsch 707 gave $5. I don't get what the big deal is. Trump should tell the media and Iran it was peaceful protests. LOL. And also Sir Ionokai, who gave $100 early, gave another $10 and said he's not pissed. He's not happy. He's playing wait and see. And he trusts Trump. So thank you for that $10. Mike Camoro gave $50 and said, not a Christian unless you support Israel, says the, quote, Christian supporting wars based off of a Schofield Bible, not an actual Bible, from a, man, I'm not even, is he talking about Ted Cruz here?
What is this?
Someone is very angry, basically says it's not Christian to support this war.
I'm going
to
go do a whole podcast on the Schofield Bible. This is like Reddit gone wrong. It's a total cope, okay? You don't know what you think you know about the Schofield Bible. Okay, anyway, it's not a separate Bible. It's not. They're like, oh, it is what's called it's like a study guide. Does that make sense? So it's like it interprets passages. People think like it changed the Bible.
Oh, man.
No, it is the Bible. Okay, anyway.
Hash Function 25 gave $5, and he says, we will force Iran to understand the gay disco. Oh, boy, and then they might want to surrender to avoid that one. Tristan gave $5 and said Christians who don't support Israel do not believe in God. John Galt gave us what I believe is 20 Australian dollars, which I think you can take and trade in at the bank for real dollars. And he said Israel was too excited to wait the 2 weeks. So not only did they dictate the actions to D.C., but also the timing. Where is American sovereignty and all of that? Thank you for the donation. I think that is overstating it a bit, but that's a take that we're seeing. Beautiful, fully broken 625 gave $10. Do we think Putin knew this was coming? I suspect he had his reasons, and I want to acknowledge some people have said, you know, is Russia going to react very hostilely to this? Will China react hostilely to this? Both of those countries have a relationship with Iran, but I think a thing we've seen that's been pretty clear over the last week is no one outside Iran is really eager to die for Iran or start a huge fight over Iran. I think the most telling thing is Hezbollah, which is the closest thing they have to like a client of Iran. They're a Shiite militia. They've been directly under Iran. They've helped them in conflicts with Israel before. And once this started, they said, we are not getting involved. We're not going to strike Israel over this. We are neutral in this one. And I think everyone else has had kind of a similar reaction to that. Mark Jackson gave $100. Thank you very much, Mark. He says, Gen X, 1972, Florida, born and bred. Trump is doing exactly what I voted for. Make America, Americans, and the world safe. Thank you very much, Mark. Noe Reyes gave $10. He says, air superiority at its finest. USA, USA, aim high, fly, fight, win. Tommy Bessinger, $20. Thank you very much. He just said, go Trump. And Julian Trajanson, $5. Thank you to our Lord God for protecting America, Israel, and our great president, Donald J. Trump. There's a bunch more. We apologize if we can't get to. Oh, we got a whole bunch of them more here. David McGovern, $5. Not a fan of how Israel forced our hand, but fully support Trump. James Kaiser, $5. Appreciate you, Charlie and crew, for all the information. I'm 39. I am glad to see America become great again. Craig Kesselder, $5. Ready for $200 per barrel of oil, bro. Well, we do make the most oil, so that'd be bad for the world. Maybe not bad for us. Superstar, 2025, $20. Charlie is awesome. Thank you for inspiring our youth. Can we get a picture with you? Well, if you come, I bet if they come to our events, sure, they could. Alejandro Castro, $10. Jerome Powell should cut them rates. Trump is not playing. Blake Mann, $5. Thank you, Charlie and Turning Point USA, for all that you do. Oh, no, Ryan just sent me a bunch more. Freed from Islam, $25. Can we also commend Hegseth and everyone in the admin for not having a single leak about this?
Yeah, by the way,
super impressive.
That's right. After all the signal gate or whatever, all that nonsense. So let me just chime in here. Freedom at charliekirk.com. We're getting lots of emails here. Support it. Do not support it. Please let us know. freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. If you have any concerns about this, has President Trump not earned the benefit of the doubt here? That doesn't mean you have to agree with everything. That doesn't mean you have to agree with all the components here. But has President Trump not earned the benefit of the doubt at this moment? After all that we've been through, after all of the components, has Donald Trump not shown you and demonstrated that he is not for foreign war? Syria, yeah, ISIS, like, Oman, go through the list here.
Yeah, like we've done multiple strikes. I worked with Tucker at this time. 2017, we had that Assad gassed his own people. This crossed the red line. We've got to overthrow it. There was a lot of pressure on Trump to do a full regime change air campaign. And instead he said, okay, we've got to show we don't tolerate this. And so he did a limited missile strike, and that was it. And then a couple years later, they kind of whipped up, oh, we got to do regime change in Syria again. He did another wave of missiles, and that was it. Soleimani, he took out Soleimani. There was some, I think, as you said, they fired some rockets at our guys. I don't think anyone died, but, you know, there was menacing gestures. Some people wanted us to escalate from that. Trump didn't. Summer 2019, they shot down one of our robots in the Persian Gulf, and some people said this was an attack on America. We had to topple the Iranian government over this, and Trump shrugged and said, "No, we're not going to do that." So, and then of course ISIS, he went in, was decisive about it, but then
totally
dialed back. Afghanistan, some people wanted to extend that war forever. He pursued getting U.S. troops out, paving the way for a full withdrawal. And, of course, Biden botched some many aspects of that. But I think we agree it's a good thing we don't have thousands of troops still getting shot at in Afghanistan. Trump has repeatedly shown he is not a fan of open-ended, no objective, long military campaigns. When he does use military force, he prefers it to be short in duration, pretty strong and decisive, and just go for your thing, shoot your shot, and get out.
Yep.
And obviously there's hazards to this. This is definitely the biggest intervention we've done. But as you say, I think he's earned some trust from us.
Also, breaking news, unrelated, but big, Fred Smith, the head of CEO, has passed away.
CEO of?
FedEx.
Oh.
Yeah. So Fred Smith was a great guy. I've actually always wanted to meet him. Phenomenal guy. Another one here, $49.99. No matter what you think, there's risk of people dying between both action and action. One might come sooner than later. One might cause many more deaths by doing nothing. Okay. So let's get the map up here. Can we do a map break here? Can we just kind of show the entire, can we get a new one of the Middle East, a topographical one? Can we please? And also let's get these are the Situation Room pictures up. There's Marco Rubio, who is both NSC and Secretary of Defense. There's Raisin Cane, Susie Wiles. It's amazing. Susie Wiles, who's an amazing person, goes from running campaigns to in situations like that. It's just awesome.
I just like how Susie Wiles is so much less. Like, it just felt like every chief of staff we had in the first term was this like major character,
she's
and there was
awesome.
Always this conflict. Susie Wiles is like, there's not constant leaks involving her. We're not getting all these stories where like Susie Wiles is screaming at Trump or yelling at someone. Like, that's what we got with Kelly. Like, and then Kelly leaves and he starts trashing Trump afterwards. We're not getting constant drama from the chief of staff this time around.
Totally. And let's get that map break of the Middle East here. And by the way, I want to keep on hearing from you guys. freedom@charliekirk.com if you are just tuning in. Okay, so can we get one of the entire Middle East, not just of Iran, but we'll start there. So that's a very big country, Blake.
Very big.
Right. So we bombed several different sites there. What walk us through kind of where in Iran these sites were, and what does each one of the sites represent as the significance?
Exactly. The places we hit are basically about in the middle of Iran. If you looked at it where it says like Zagros Mountains and Alborz Mountains, kind of the northernmost one is about where those two like words are meeting. That's the main one we hit, Fordo. Then there's another one, Nahans, I think is what it was. That's just maybe like 100 miles to the southeast, and then Isfahan a little more to the southeast. And that's the core of about where the people of Iran are. Iran is about 92 million people. Most of them live in the western half of the country. It's very mountainous. It's very rugged, but you have these fertile valleys, whereas the further east you go, you get into just the desert. Not a lot of people who live there. So kind of if you were in the bottom sort of the southeast quadrant of the country. That's kind of Iran's equivalent of like out here. There's one or two cities and then not much else. Big desert. But yeah, so you're kind of bombing a string of sites in the mountains where it's still pretty densely populated. 92 million people in an area about 2.5 times the size of Texas. That's more densely populated than Texas, actually. So lots of people there, pretty spread out.
So you have a good way of thinking in a contrarian fashion. What do you have to say to people that say, this is, I didn't vote for this. This is an administration ender. This is the end of the coalition. I mean, this is June of the first year. Blake, how would you respond to that?
Yeah, so I can say that myself as someone who I don't want a war with Iran.
You have opinions that differ. That's fine.
But what I can say is like, first of all, we just don't know how this is going to go yet. We don't know how Iran is going to reply. And if they do reply, we don't know how President Trump will react to it. So we are putting our trust in him. It's not an administration error. Currently, what has happened so far is the United States dropped some bombs on three sites in Iran. We don't know what the death toll is, but if it reflects what we've had so far, maybe a few dozen people. We have dropped some bombs on Iran. That is our level of commitment. We have not landed troops on the southern shore of Iran. We haven't had paratroopers land in Tehran. We are not doing daily bombing campaigns on all of Iran's cities. We have not turned this into like our equivalent of the Ukraine war. We have flown some bombers over. We dropped bombs on three sites. That's it. That is a very limited level of involvement. We should genuinely be worried if this escalates into a bigger thing. But so far, it does not. So far, it does not. And we have some level of control over whether it does. Not 100%. That's why we have some worries. But it has not exploded into anything big yet. So people, they said they didn't vote for regime change. They didn't vote for endless wars. They didn't vote for U.S. boots on the ground. So far, we don't have those things. We don't have a regime change war. We don't have boots on the ground. We don't have an open-ended conflict with no clear objective. President Trump's objective was blow their nuclear program to smithereens. So we bombed their nuclear program. And that is the extent of what we have done so far.
That's it. And so I have to say, I want to try to introduce some caution into all of this. Let me kind of read some frontline reports from the Middle East. This is from some Israeli intelligence officers, secondhand information, not first. Quote, reports out of Iran are that officers are refusing to fire missiles because Israel has been striking launch sites immediately after they fire. That is true. No, this is rational. This is actually rational. No missile attacks in Israel today for the first time since Israel first attacked Iran last week. Iran's ability to fire any missiles is severely degraded. U.S. assets in the Middle East are likely not going to be attacked. Now, that's a very bullish interpretation, but that is actually a very rational and interesting thing. So let me kind of explain to you how this works. So there's a ton of Iranian ballistic missile launchers in the interior of Iran, a ton of them, right? And so we don't know where they all are. And so there's a ton of these launchers in the interior of Iran. As soon as a ballistic missile goes up for one of them, they've outed themselves, right? So a lot of these are like hidden in the hills and they're hidden in the trees. I mean, it's a massive country, right? Put that map back up. I mean, could you imagine trying to just find a launcher in Texas? By the way, just so you know, driving from like Galveston to El Paso could take you like 10 hours. Now, 2.5 times that. That's like driving from Houston to Reno.
With probably a crappier road network, too.
Right, exactly. So as soon as one of these launchers goes up and it surfaces, then we now know from the air where it is, and then Israel takes it out. Okay. So, therefore, if they want to take out American bases or try to take out American troops, they have to out themselves as a launcher. Yes.
We have a new truth from President Trump 4 minutes ago. All caps, as is his way. Any retaliation by Iran against the United States of America will be met with force far greater than what was witnessed tonight. Thank you, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States.
Yes, and so, by the way, that's a very predictable truth from Trump. And that's, by the way, that's exactly what he should be saying, and he means every single word. So that's some interesting intelligence. Let me read some other stuff here. some other reports that I'm getting. So CNN reports that top Democrats on the Intel committee were not briefed on the strikes, while Republicans were. So that explains why there were no leaks. It's good, right?
They'll get annoyed about that one.
That's right. So the do we have shock and awe, by the way, from 2003? Do we have that?
While we wait for that, we got a $20 donation.
Yeah,
the Gabello family supporting Trump from Papua New Guinea. I don't know that I've ever gotten a donation from Papua New Guinea before.
Is it true there are cannibals in there are cannibals
there? There's like everything in Papua New Guinea. There's like more languages in Papua New Guinea than like the rest of the world combined.
Are you serious?
No, yeah, it's like they have all these like micro language families.
We got 61,000 people watching live. I want to encourage you guys to take out your phone and subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast page. You could follow this QR code right here. We're top five in Apple News. We break this down all the time from every angle, nuanced, complex, first-hand sources. None of this BS that you see sometimes on TV, the best of the best stuff. Also want to thank some of our people that have become members. It's members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Kirsten, Annette, Eric, Jackson, Jordan, Rebecca, David, Silen, Cleo, Shelley, Amber, Blake. Thank you, Blake. James, Joshua, Ruth, Marco, Nicholas, Brennan, Asa, Kenneth, Katie, Jason, Andrew, Kansas, that's interesting. Kara, Davies, Margaret, Caroline, Marissa, Hayden, Barbie, Thomas. That's members.charliekirk.com, members.charliekirk.com. And so do either one. Become a member, or if you guys want to potentially win a hat, subscribe to our podcast and email us proof of subscription, freedom@charliekirk.com. So we know that Iran's ability to enrich uranium has been deterred. This is from a top-level military source. Let me read this here. Those saying they fear another Iraq and Afghanistan are not paying attention. Nobody here, this is from a top-level military source, has any plans of going in on the ground. That has never been part of our plan. This is what they also say. Charlie, please tell your audience that Israel has assassinated hundreds of scientists who ran the program. It's not just the facilities that were destroyed. And Russia and the Chinese Communist Party won't be so fast to help them again after this. They are set back, in all caps, decades, if it's not totally destroyed.
Decades is pretty bold.
I'm not sure I share that view, but okay. Let me go one more. And of course, they will do what they can to rebuild. They are an ideological regime. They don't care about their economy except as it helps them build weapons capabilities. I remember I told you about the money. That's why they've been having rolling blackouts for years. Electricity is the gut punch to Iran. Remember that. For years, even though they are one of the most energy resource rich countries in the world, that's a great point. All their resources go to the war machine against Israel and the West. Thoughts on that?
I mean, I hope they're right. Like,
well, decades.
But also like hundreds. I mean, maybe they've definitely taken out some nuclear scientists. Have they taken out hundreds? I'd be interested in seeing, you know, the full list of names. That's quite the job. That's quite the operation. In the end, like, the truth is, this is the dark reality of it is, the nuclear bomb was invented 80 years ago in a country. We were able to invent the atomic bomb without having computers.
So what is the history of Iran? Why is it called Iran and not Persia?
So Iran actually is, like, I believe their historic name going back 2,000 years. It actually comes from the same word. It literally basically means land of Aryans. So actually, like, you know, the Nazis kind of got that Aryan label from, like, ancient Indo.
Really?
Yeah. So they're an Indo-European people. So they're, like, Persian, for example, is an Indo-European language. So it is related to English, to Italian, French, all the languages we speak. And, you know, it goes all the way down to India. So you have Indian languages, Persian languages, and then European languages. So it's not a Semitic language the way Hebrew is or Arabic.
That's interesting. So you mean Farsi?
Yeah, so Farsi is just another term for Persian.
Okay.
Fars province. And
so when you say they speak Persian, is that correct?
Yeah, okay. Persian, you could call it Persian. Usually they'll just call it Persian. They also speak Persian in Afghanistan. Not everyone, but like the largest group of people there. So Persia, that's just a name. There's like Persis is a region in Iran. And that's where the ancient Greeks kind of got their name for them. So the ancient Greeks called them Persia. And obviously we have a great heritage from the ancient Greeks, and so that just kind of became the Western name for them. But generally, their own name for themselves was some, I'm not exactly sure how they pronounce it, but basically Iran. And about 100 years ago, the Shah of Iran actually said, I think we should be called the Iran in the West. And then his successor, the famous Shah who got overthrown, he said, yeah, you can call it whatever you want. I don't care that much. And then he got overthrown, and they went back to preferring Iran a lot. So what's very funny is if you're in L.A. and you know the Persians there, they often prefer to be called Persians because they see that as a way of showing they're not in line with the regime, which pushes the Iranian name. So I don't know. It'd be kind of cool. If we did end up overthrowing their government, it'd be bad. But one of the plus sides, maybe we can call it Persia again, which I kind of prefer as a name myself.
I like Persia.
Persia, yeah, it's cool. Like, Persians who you like, if you play a video game, if you're playing like Civilization, like you play as the Persians, you don't play as the Iranians.
100%. If you want to make sense of the change and the chaos happening around us, you're going to need God's help. That's why Alan Jackson Ministries, a friend of mine, created the Culture and Christianity Podcast, the Culture and Christianity Conference, and their weeknight news show, Alan Jackson Now. Millions of people also listen to Pastor Alan Jackson's powerful sermons each week, I do, on radio, television, satellite, and online. In today's world, there's desperate need for truth, and Alan Jackson Ministries feels a sense of urgency to deliver God's truth and a biblical perspective to anyone who will listen. We can't afford to be complacent. Their mission is to help people become more fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, which is the most important thing, giving your life to the Lord, including here on The Charlie Kirk Show. Go to alanjackson.com/Charlie. That is alanjackson.com/Charlie to find recent podcasts, shows, and sermons. Be informed, find encouragement, hear the truth delivered in a way that just makes sense. You'll also find books, studies, prayers, and other tools to help you grow in your faith. Again, that's alanjackson.com/Charlie, alanjackson.com/Charlie. This is our time to make a difference. Check it out right now. So I want to read some of these emails here. Mandy says, Charlie, I'm a Trump supporter, wife, mom of three. Tough decisions, but I trust that they're made not lightly. I could tell you right now, these are not made lightly. This has been enormous amount of pondering. This is not just a overnight decision that went into this. Now, there's another email from a friend from Chicago. Charlie, I'm 100% in support of Israel, but I think Trump needs to pull back. The job is done. Get in and out. Okay. So, I mean, you kind of look at the dynamics here. This potentially could escalate in a way that nobody wants. The $10 trillion question is, what is Iran going to do? Now, Blake, let's walk through this. Trump saying he'll retaliate if we're hit is worrisome. But let me just ask. So if 100 U.S. troops die, does a president need to respond in that? What did Reagan do with the barracks bombing?
Yeah, so for those
that's instructive here.
So for those who don't remember, there was a civil war in Lebanon
in the 80s.
In the 80s, so which I was going to say about 30 years ago, and it is over 40 years ago now. So civil war in Lebanon, and you know, we kind of had the humanitarian send US troops to try to keep order, very much just a humanitarian mission. And as such things go in the Middle East, it didn't go well for us. One of the first big suicide bombers in the Middle East, they were not a super common practice at the time, but a guy drives a truck bomb into the barracks where the Marines are in Beirut and detonates it and kills, I want to say, did he kill 300 U.S. troops?
It was 283. I only know that because I looked it up the other day.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then other people as well. Like, one of the most devastating suicide bombs of all time. And the response of Reagan was, this is not what we signed up for, and we will pull our troops out. Now, a big difference there is that's a non-state actor who did it. Like, there was no government we could really overthrow.
Yeah, so that's the barracks bombing right there, 280.
And
so 283 U.S. service members die. How did Reagan respond when 283 Marines, I think,
yeah,
died?
Yeah, so like I said, he responded by, we withdrew our troops there. We were like, we don't want tons of U.S. troops dying in what is ultimately just a humanitarian mission. Similarly, in Somalia, we intervened there, again, on a humanitarian mission. And then a large number of U.S. troops got killed in the whole Black Hawk Down incident in Mogadishu. And our response was, let's pull back.
Was that Clinton?
That was early in Clinton's presidency. Yep. Yeah, I think 93. And so, again, we withdrew from that because our thought was we're here on a humanitarian mission. We're not here to get hundreds of U.S. troops killed. But, again, same deal. There's no Somalia was in a state of essential anarchy. It was warlords. There was not a regime we could go and just get, you know, overthrow as retaliation. It would be different here if there's
an organized
Iranian
government
and a military that has killed 100 U.S. troops. And that is, I would say, it's risky. Like, I understand why President Trump said this, but at the same time, when he says, if you attack us, I'll retaliate much worse,
I think that it's
commits us.
It's rhetorical deterrence. That's probably the best argument.
It is, but it's also...
Oh, that's an interesting point. Yeah. So build that out further. I interrupted you. So now you're saying that if we get hit, he must respond.
Exactly. So that is build what's that dicey, out. Is that he has said, if you hit us, I will hit you back and hard. And previously, when he'd said nothing... I think you could say it's pretty likely he would hit you back, but he has freedom of action in how he chooses to respond
to it.
He's kind of
prevented some agency. Maybe.
Now it's kind of we're committed. If Iran says, okay, we're going to lob a bunch of missiles at you, he to maintain his credibility, he's going to have to respond and more intensely than they hit us. So he can't even keep it tit for tat. He's said he will respond much more forcefully than whatever they hit us with. And so they hit us, you know, one U.S. troop dies, 10 U.S. troops die. He's now said, I'm going to pulverize you if you do that. So then suddenly we're bombing Iran a bunch more. And then what do they do back to us? That's how you can potentially get into that escalatory thing where they do one thing, we go back at them, they go back at us.
Yes.
And that's the way you end up.
All of a sudden you wake up one day and you're like.
Suddenly there's U.S. troops in Iran.
Yeah. Which by the way, is logistically, I don't even know where you would invade. Like, it's not. There's not like a port. I mean, there's like a. They're literally.
It's deep in the interior. Tehran is hundreds of miles into the interior of that country.
All surround. I mean, you could not design a country harder to invade than Iran.
Maybe Afghanistan.
Well, that's true. Yeah. But no. But the difference is Afghanistan, a bunch of people in huts. This is a great people. These are very sophisticated people.
Cities with 20 million people.
Correct.
Now imagine how much urban warfare stinks. Now imagine urban warfare in a city of 20 million people.
Well, let me go a step further. So the IRGC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, General Guard, whatever.
Guard Corps, probably.
Yeah. Has 600,000 active people. 200,000. Do you know how many people they have on call?
It's going to be 10 times.
20
much.
Million. So basically.
That's like every dude in Iran.
Now, the point being is that they're like. But think about that. I mean, you could be fighting a 20, and they're all armed. Like, they have a conventional army in Iran. So nobody wants this. And by the way, President Trump doesn't want it either. He's been very clear. He wants to get in and out. And he knows, look, you bomb a foreign country, you are introducing risk. You are introducing an element of unpredictability here that no one will be able to control. Let's go back in the history books. This is on British television. The invasion of Afghanistan, 2001. Play cut 278.
Good evening. American and British forces have begun attacking the Taliban in Afghanistan tonight in a wave of military strikes aimed at crippling their air defenses and wiping out their military aircraft. The attacks began just before 5:30 this evening, 9:30 in Kabul, when 50 cruise missiles were launched from submarines and ships in the Arabian Sea, supported by what's been described as the most sophisticated bombers and strike aircraft in the American arsenal.
And so let me just kind of give another viewpoint here. From that broadcast in 2001 to 2025, it's been 24 years. I'm 31 years old. Basically, as a 31-year-old, almost all memory that I have of war has been quagmire, death, lies, and deception in that region. For those of you watching this right now, over the age of 50, you're like, how is it that so many young people can be skeptical? That's why. Because we turn the corner, there's just another conflict in this region that almost everybody in this audience will not join. They will not visit. They will not know where it is. And again, I'm not even saying that there is a... I'm not even taking a position on it. Trump did it. He's the commander-in-chief. We have to trust his judgment. He has earned our judgment. By the way, that is the biggest takeaway I'm getting from Trump supporters is cautionary approval. That's probably the best way I could summarize it. It's like, look, you're leading us into this. You've earned it. We got it. We have some concerns. Cautionary approval, I would say, is the consensus of the audience. I don't even have cautionary approval. I just say, President Trump has earned it. He's a friend of mine. He made a decision. Let's see what happens. And by the way, he has proven time and time again. It'd be one thing if all of a sudden he had 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different iterations of messes. And he knows what he is doing. We're at 96 members here tonight. Tina, Kathleen, Dakota, thank you. Barry, Virginia, Michaela, Brian, Bobby, Gus, Stephen, Lauren, Barbara, Karen, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Jack Posobiec is with us. Is that right? Or did Jack...
Oh, I'm here, Charlie. I'm here.
Jack, you left us to go on Bannon Show. Now I'm trying to get Bannon on here. It's all a mess. So Jack, how do we go forward here to keep MAGA together in the midst of all this?
Well, Charlie, look, you know, there's obviously divided opinion on this, and you know, I'd be remiss as calling balls and strikes if I didn't say that. But Charlie, let's remember that MAGA has always been a coalition focused on the domestic policy, the domestic agenda. What are the even Kayleigh McEnany, who's someone who was massively in favor of these strikes all throughout the week, has said that the issue that President Trump polls highest on has consistently been the issue of mass deportations. And prior to that, these ICE raids that have been ramping up, I think 500% earlier in the week was a number that I had seen come out. A lot of the videos coming out of Los Angeles and other major cities, President Trump also putting out a major tweet saying that he would be focusing on major cities with these ICE raids. Look, you got to ramp up the domestic agenda. And I think that's something that brings everybody, you know, people who were against this in the bases, people who were, you know, potentially, you know, Gen Z who was against this. I think if you ramp up that domestic agenda and really focus on this, as well as, by the way, getting the funding to the domestic agenda through this big, beautiful bill, that's going to be something that works very much to put everybody at ease, to understand that, yes, this is President Trump. This has always been President Trump. He's always been focused on his promises. One of his promises was on Iran, and he came down that escalator, and he said, I'm going to end Iran's nuclear program. And he also said, I'm going to conduct mass deportation. So he's done one, and he's going to do the other as well.
So here's some breaking news here. I want to confirm this. Iran's atomic agency says the country will carry on with its nuclear activities despite U.S. attacks on key facilities. Okay, so this is what... Now, remember back to our program. This is why you guys should subscribe to our podcast, because we're one of the only shows that's been telling you this. Remember back on Thursday, Friday, we were talking about how a nuclear program is a mindset. And so they... Insofar that the regime breathes, there is still a nuclear program. And so this has not deterred, at least, and we'll say, I mean, this could be rhetorical BS. This could just be, we're going to get you. And then they realize all their, scientists are dead.
We have to bomb the nuclear program in
their
hearts.
NASA Fire Information System detected a significant heat generating event near the Fordow nuclear facility, the New York Times reported. One detection was about 30 minutes before President Trump announced the U.S. strikes. I don't know what that means. That's a little strange, but I need it.
Well, 30 minutes before we announced, that would be after they supposedly believed we hit it. So
yeah,
it could
that,
be
okay.
Follow-up hit. It could be something within the plant blew up.
Okay, so this Trita Parsi, founder and former president of the National Iranian Council on MSNBC, says, quote, I think the most important thing to understand in this situation is that Donald Trump has now ensured that Iran will be a nuclear weapon state in 5 to 10 years from now. Particularly if there is regime change. Nothing motivates a country more to actually go for nuclear deterrence than having being bombed. You do not know how a population is going to respond when you bomb them. It could break their will or it can strengthen their will. Anyone who tells you is incorrect. Now, the argument probably to bomb Fordow, the best case argument is this. It buys you a lot of time, and this regime is probably not going to last another decade.
They've had multiple waves of like major protests against them, and I think some people believe it's a very weak regime that could just get toppled, you know, at a nudge. I think that's optimistic. And even if they get toppled, you know, maybe you get your Islamic regime toppled by just a secular but militant regime. Like, there's kind of this assumption that anyone who's against the Ayatollahs might be pro us, but
no.
Well,
so Jack is there. Jack, talk about how, and before I go to Jack, I just want to say you guys can email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Oh, I saw Steve for a second. Jack, talk about how there's a chance regime change could lead to an IRGC government, a military dictatorship.
Well, Charlie, that's exactly right. And you know, what you're saying, I think, in terms of the technology of, you know, the mindset of the nuclear program, I think is exactly right, because it's a technology. So nuclear programs are a technology. The capability, the infrastructure, that's all been taken out. That's been set back potentially for years. We don't know exactly how long. But getting rid of a technology is tricky because it is a technology. You would almost akin it to trying to get rid of Bitcoin, right? You could get rid of, you know, a lot of the infrastructure for Bitcoin, but some of it would exist somewhere, and it could be reconstituted if that regime were still in power. And so there's another line here, too, that looking at these strikes, this is something that we saw in Iraq. This is something that we saw in Afghanistan. So let's just, you know, total devil's advocate here. Let's say the regime falls, the Ayatollah is assassinated or he's overthrown and there's a power vacuum. One of those scenarios takes place. There's a real possibility that there is a power vacuum. There are multiple successors who claim to be the next Ayatollah. And yet perhaps, just perhaps, the military, the IRGC of Iran, says we want to be in charge. They install their own supreme leader, someone who is completely outside of the current system, whatever you want to call the system in Iran right now, and basically creates a military dictatorship that is much, much, much more aggressive than the current leadership of Iran. Works to launch their ballistic missiles, bomb the Straits of Hormuz, go mine the Strait of Hormuz, go after merchant shipping, go after U.S. bases. All of these things are on the table. And by the way, all of these things have happened within this region in just the last 50 years. So this isn't like something that that we're just shooting from the hip here. These are all things that have taken place within the Middle East, Central Asia region over the course of the last 50 years or so, and certainly in the post-World War II environment.
Everybody, email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. That is the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. You guys can go right here and subscribe. Blake, we might have to throw to Steve here, but can we win a war simply and solely just through air power?
Yeah, so a friend of mine sent me a message that got me thinking. He said, thinking everything can be done with air power is a error we've been making since Korea. And it got me thinking about that, because it's true. In Korea, we had the United States Air Force. It was one of the most powerful things ever. It was a lot of stuff we had from World War II. And we basically fought China to a draw, and China had essentially no planes. And yet it just ended up being a draw. We couldn't bomb our way through to winning that war. Vietnam, unlimited amounts of U.S. air power. You'll see that figure sometimes. We dropped more bombs on North Vietnam than we dropped on Germany and Japan in World War II. But we couldn't bomb that entire country into submission. Since then, our bombs have gotten a lot better. We have smart bombs. We can make sure whatever bomb we drop is going to hit its target. But the offset to this is, they're more expensive. They take longer to make. We don't have the ability to just produce a million bombs really easily. And so what you get is, if you want to see the outcome, you can go look at Ukraine and Russia, for example. You can drop bombs. You can hit power blinds. You can hit power plants. You can hit dams. You can hit tanks. You can hit infantry. You can hit missile launchers. But after a while, you just start to run out. And okay, it's a country of 93 million people. And you don't have perfect knowledge of everything. You don't have the ability to hit everything. And after a while, you just have to admit, are you actually able to bomb this country until they surrender? Are you able to bomb them until their government gets overthrown? There's not a great track record on that. Even with, like, Saddam Hussein, we did shock and awe, but to knock him out of power, we had to send 150,000 troops into that country.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to hear people who claim, we can keep this entirely limited to an air war and achieve all of our objectives. And if our objective is just damage their nuclear program, maybe we can do that. But if you allow these people to get their hooks in where they say, well, our goal needs to be regime change because that's the only way we stop their nuclear program, or because they've hit U.S. troops and so we need to retaliate and that's the only lever we have, I'm not sure you can get that done with only planes dropping bombs. And that's how you end up with, God forbid, U.S. troops end up in Tehran.
And there is kind of this, like, modern cope that, like, we're able to just do it with air power.
Yeah.
Right?
It's the thought, like, oh, you can just fly planes and they can't hit us and no one gets shot down and no one dies.
There's no casualties. And it's kind of a fiction of the modern military pedestrian mind. So I want to read a email here. This is by no means the majority, but I would say a lot of younger people are emailing us something similar. Charlie, I supported Donald Trump and voted for him. I will be voting for anyone that is explicitly anti-Israel next election. So, Jack, I know this is not the primary thing on people's mind, but what has the last week done, in your opinion, for the Israel advocacy, or the people have the belief pro or against? Has it improved people's opinion of Israel? Has it decreased people's opinion of Israel? Jack Posobiec.
Well, Charlie, you know, I would say it depends on it cuts on age lines the same way we've seen with a number of these things. For the older generation, I think it's something where they're generally pro-Israel. Then it cuts, so baby boomers, then and Gen X writ large. Then you cut down to millennials. That's kind of 50-50 in Gen Y. But for Gen Z in particular, they've shifted in a big way. I saw one poll from last week, over 50% anti-Israel, and I think that's going to continue moving in that direction, because Gen Z particularly views Israel as the aggressor in many of these cases. Now, again, you can argue about that. I personally have, you know, my own thoughts on that, but that's how it's viewed. I'm just saying that's the observation of Gen Z. And so as such, they say, why does all this have to happen right now? They have serious questions about the intelligence. They have serious questions about what's really going on. And they go on TikTok and they look at videos coming out of Gaza every day of dead kids. Now they see bombing in Iran and they say, what is this? Why isn't anyone coming in to do something to help us? Why isn't anyone doing anything to fix the economy in the United States, to fix the health situation in the United States, to fix housing, to fix fix housing without having to sell off all of our public lands, which is a conversation we were having the other day, at least behind the scenes. And they're saying, when is our government going to do something for us? And whenever I talk to Gen Z, and I talk to Gen Z all the time, I have them on the program, that's the first words out of their mouth any day of the week. And it seems like they feel that they're not heard. They feel that other people's interests always seem to come ahead of theirs.
Yeah, and so, Jack, if you were to give advice to the pro-Israel advocates and community, and also a warning, what would they be? Because I think that there is a cautionary tale here that, like, hey, the last couple of weeks have not necessarily improved American sentiment of Israel. But secondly, what would your advice be?
My first advice would be listen. Just listen and don't lecture. Just listen. You know, this is the difference between, between different effective communication and ineffective communication, as we were talking about on Thought Crime. I guess that was yesterday, actually. It feels like quite a few days ago, but it was actually just yesterday. But in effective communication, you're listening. You're being responsive. You're actually hearing what another person's interests are and another person's side is. And so if you're trying to meet Gen Z where they are, then actually listen to them and don't tell them how they should think. Listen to what they think and why. Find out what the context is. Find out what their situation is, because they are a generation. Again, and I'm just going to go back to the context here. One of their earliest memories, if they even have a memory of it, is 9/11. Mm-hmm. And then since then, they've been in a country that's
been
perpetually at war. And George W. Bush got, obviously escalated wars. Barack Obama was elected saying that he was going to end wars. He did not. He escalated wars. Then you had President Trump, first term, said, worked very hard to get us out of the Middle East. And then Joe Biden comes in and boom, we have 10-7. We have the Ukraine war launch off. And so a lot of Gen Z is saying, is someone just going to stop these wars and do something for us? And unfortunately, they get these lectures and they get these talking points and they don't have anyone who listens.
So, Blake, can you go through some of the super chats and some of the people that have paid really quick?
Of course. Again, thank you to everyone who's been donating. If we don't get to yours, we're still extremely grateful. Master Doc donated £5, British pounds. Please, America, stand with us. We Israelis really need this. We can't do this without you guys. Please think of our people. I'm not sure if that one might be sarcastic or not. Let's see. Jackson donated $5. Charlie, my friend, Jack Lyles and I love your content and watch all your videos on YouTube. Excited to be a new member. Thank you very much for joining. Alex Evans donated $5. What if we rebuild the enrichment sites into Bucky's and Costco locations? Not until we get a Bucky's here in Phoenix.
We are getting one. Bucky's is taking over the world.
Bucky's is amazing. I feel like if you go to Bucky's, you come away thinking America can defeat everyone in the world because no one else has anything like that. It is incredible. Let's see. Jose Lopez donated $10. He wrote, Numbers 24:9, trusting God. He never backs down on his promises. He has promised blessings to those who bless Israel. God bless America, Trump, and the U.S. Armed Forces. Thank you very much. Noise Like donated $20. He said, is it possible that Trump might want to support Muslim soon? That would be good. No, I would disagree. I would prefer that we not support Islam. But if Islam wants to stop waging war on the United States, the radicals, I would certainly be grateful. Mr. Magic 211 donated $5. The real strategic win here is the clear message to China. Trump won't hesitate to act if they make a move on Taiwan. That's definitely something that's in the back of many people's minds. Jesus is the Way donated $2, and he says, run for president, Charlie. I love you. Hopefully not in that way. Mr. Darkside donated $20. Revelation 3:9. Behold, I will... Oh, okay. No, we're not going to read that one. Guys, you don't need to do the... That's, yeah, no. Come on, guys. Let's see. I like this one. Eric Norris, $2. I've seen more Iranians okay with this than Americans. I've seen people say this, but again, I want to caution people. Yep. The Iranians you know are not necessarily representative of Iran writ large. If yes. they're people who know English, if they're people in America, that's not the same as your ordinary rural Iranian.
So I want to just say really quick, we're live here on Real America's Voice, according to our team, which is great. Hello, everybody that is just watching. You probably already heard the news from, obviously, the United States has bombed Iran. I want to hear from you guys, freedom@charliekirk.com. Do you support this? Are you in favor? What are your concerns? Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Also, a special thank you to Rob and Parker Sig. Phenomenal guys and what they're doing at Real America's Voice. They've been holding it down really great today, and sorry for all the technical issues. Sorry to cut you off there, Blake, but I do want to just introduce a question here. How do we keep the coalition together? It's very important, Jack. We have to keep this coalition together. People are getting very spicy online. I have a prediction, and my Elon prediction I think is going to be turned out right. I think the prediction is by mid-July, this is going to be kind of a non-issue. We're going to be moving on. Jack, what now? This is a very important question, Jack. Jack, what now does Donald Trump have to do to really fulfill the mandate for the base for people that might be concerned on immigration, on border? Cernovich had a tweet about this. Jack, what needs to happen?
Well, Charlie, look, you know, and I read Cernovich's tweet as well, and you know, we've all been pushing for it. We've all been pushing it for it every single day. Stephen Miller champions it every single chance he gets anywhere near a microphone, 1 minute on, or even 1 second on mainstream media, and that is mass deport all the illegals that are in the United States right now. Make and fulfill the promise and the mandate that was sent to the American people regarding this question of the massive invasion crisis and the massive migrant crisis that is affecting the American people, the people who live within the confines of the United States of America, who face so many issues in terms of economics, jobs, wages, labor, housing, healthcare, et cetera, writ large, not to mention security issues of having all of these transnational gangs operating throughout our country. By the way, not to mention potential even sleeper cells, and many people have pointed to this, and you know, we'll see how true that is, and we'll probably find out very quickly if so, or you know, hopefully Kash Patel and the boys over at FBI can make short work of them if that does come to fruition. But, you know, really politically speaking, what I'd love to see and what I have loved seeing is the ramp up of the ICE raids and these mass deportations, because the domestic agenda is really going to come into focus now for the MAGA coalition going forward between now and those critical midterms.
The most important thing, it's called Project 10 Million. Jack, we need 10 million deportations in this first term. We have a million self-deportations. We are on pace. We're getting about a 1,000 to 2,000 deportations a day right now, ish. Is that about ish? Maybe
arrests, maybe.
Well,
yeah, arrests.
That doesn't include self deportation. So,
I'm saying we have a million self.
Right.
Right. So when we have nothing on the border, it's Project 10 million. I like measuring stuff, or else, success is 10 million illegal alien invaders. People say we need all 21 million. We don't have the logistical capacity for that yet. 10 million is a big dent. That helps demographically, right, Blake? 10 million would be a major victory.
That would be a big one. And that's, frankly, that's one of the reasons we don't like regime change so much, because this country being what it is, we could not possibly overthrow Iran's government without them being like, and now a million people from Iran need to come to America.
It's ridiculous. So, Jack, what do we now? We need to pass the big, beautiful bill, Project 10 million. We need to write it down, by the way, because if we don't measure it, all of a sudden we're going to end up in the summer of 2026 or the summer of 2027, be like, how many people have we deported? Like 2 million? So what then? I'm going to actually do the math in a second, because self-deportation is huge. I think over 3 to 4 million can end up being self-deportation. But Jack, go through the list here. Education, you know, spending cuts, tax cuts, dereg, economy, inflation, DEI. I mean, we have to pitch a perfect game, because, look, I support President Trump 100%. You do too. We're not, no criticism. But some people in the chat and some people in the emails are getting pretty fired up, right? We have to pitch a perfect game here, Jack.
We do. And if there's a man who can pitch a perfect game, it is President Trump. So no hits, no walks. And so when we're looking at this, by the way, getting the no taxes on overtime, the no taxes on tips, and we've also seen it floated a couple of times here about, and we know that Secretary Lutnick, as well as a few others, have floated this idea of dropping taxes on anyone under, I believe, one of the thresholds they were looking at was $150,000, or so I guess that'd be potentially $300,000 or so, maybe $250,000 for joint filing for married couples. Dropping income taxes federally writ large for everyone under that bracket would be something that's just absolutely huge when it comes to the president's domestic agenda. And again, Charlie, this is a huge part of what won Trump the swing states, was the economic agenda. And this is something that, you know, I've talked about for a long time. I've always said the two biggest issues for MAGA are trade and immigration. So you deliver on trade and immigration, and of course, economics is all a function of trade, then that's going to do a lot to keep the MAGA coalition together, not just for now, but even after Trump's term in office going into 2028.
And so, by the way, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is calling for impeachment of Donald Trump. Yeah, that's – and by the way –
so it's a day that ends in Y.
Right, exactly. And so just so we're clear, a lot of presidents exercise military action without prior congressional approval. The War Powers Act is pretty broad in its scope, right, Blake?
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot of it is like if the president does – it really doesn't restrict launching a single strike. It restricts like open-ended commitment of the U.S. to conflicts. And so really like one bombing strike, I can't imagine that actually does violate the War Powers Act. What it would be is if he's bombing them every single day and all of that, then you actually have to like get congressional approval to keep things going long term.
You know, one of the biggest lies being sold to American people right now is that you're in control of your money, especially when it comes to crypto. But the truth, most of these so-called crypto platforms are just banks in disguise, fully capable of freezing your assets the moment some bureaucrat makes a phone call. That is not what Bitcoin was built for. That's why I use Bitcoin.com. I just did a major transaction on it. They offer a self-custodial wallet, which means you hold the keys. You control your assets. No one can touch your crypto, not the IRS or not a rogue bank, not some three-letter agency that thinks it knows better than you do. This is how it was intended by the original creators of Bitcoin: peer-to-peer money, free from centralized control, free from surveillance, and free from arbitrary seizure. So if you're serious about financial sovereignty, go to Bitcoin.com, set up your wallet, take back control, because if you don't hold the keys, you don't own your money. Bitcoin.com, freedom starts here. So Blake, I want to get to some more of the chats here, but let me just kind of read some of the emails. freedom@charliekirk.com. We're here live on Real America's Voice. By the way, you can listen to all of our commentary if you subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. That's the Charlie Kirk Show podcast page. By following the QR code, we're going to be doing live commentary all week on this. This is a major, major day. So pull up some of those, Blake. But Jack, let me throw it back to you. So Jack, from a military standpoint, I want to get the map of all of our military bases up. What are the precautionary measures that U.S. troops have to go through in preparation to a Iranian ballistic missile attack against a United States base in the region?
Yeah, Charlie, well, a lot of that, you know, fortunately has already been done. And so these are going to be some of the messages that Secretary Hegseth sent out to the force earlier in this week, as well as force dispersal. So what do we mean by force dispersal? That means, so in a Pearl Harbor, like let's go back to Pearl Harbor as, you know, December 7, 1941, as a successful, quote unquote, military strike of the Japanese on a naval base. Well, one of the reasons it was so successful in large was because of the fleet sitting there tied pier side, tied dockside. So you had so much of it right there at the Pearl Harbor Navy base, obviously, in Hawaii, that weren't able to get off. And so those kamikazes, the bombers, everything that the Japanese Navy was able to hit at it were there because they were in one central localized facility. Interestingly enough, a number of the aircraft carriers were actually out on maneuvers on that day, and that's one of the reasons that the United States Navy switched to aircraft carrier strike following Pearl Harbor. But so since then, one of the strategies has always been disperse your assets. So get your ships over operating in different areas, move your aircraft over, get them to different places. If you've got civilians, obviously many of these bases. I had a family member who was living on the Bahrain Naval Base at one point. They're not there currently, but you know, had their entire family there and was living on base. So a lot of these families have gotten out, and at the same time, though, there are still people that are within range there. So, you know, you're going to be looking for what's our force protection level, what are we looking for in terms of air defense to make sure that those are all manned. You're going to be put on high alert. And so hopefully all non-essential personnel have been evacuated at this point, or at least safe places, simply just outside of the base and getting to places. And this is what, by the way, a lot of the embassies in any of these areas are focused on a regular basis. Now, one thing that I've been looking for and I haven't noticed are the mass evacuations of U.S. citizens from anywhere you'd call it a NEO or a non-combatant evacuation operation. And we haven't seen a NEO in any of the locations really around the Gulf since the start of this conflict. And now there have been limited evacuations, but not a full-scale NEO. And so that tells me that they're expecting potentially some reprisal, but not anything, at least at this point, that would resemble a full-scale war.
CNN is saying two bunker busters were dropped on Natanz. Navy submarines launched 30 Tomahawk cruise missiles, and there were two bunker busters.
They're saying they dropped a dozen bunker busters.
The link says two.
Yeah, on Natanz, but they're saying we dropped a dozen on Fort O. A dozen bunker busters. I wonder if we have several bunker busters. Like, we have that 30,000-pound one that's, like, very powerful. We have lesser ones, so maybe there's an aspect of that, like maybe each of them.
Yeah, the ordnance question and the battle. So if I could just make a point on this real quick, that I'm seeing so many disparate reports on what exactly was dropped, what was fired, what went out, when it did. You know, I'm not sure. Right. I'm going to go with the president on what he said, because that's the only real official word that we have thus far. Perhaps Secretary Hegseth or his office will put out something a little bit more clarifying or definitional in terms of what came out, because there's a lot of strange, you know, numbers floating around. And when I say strange, I mean they're sort of, you know, one person says it was 12, one person says it was 6, one person says it was 2. And so I'm really waiting to hear some kind of official word, you know, if we get one or not, on what specifically was dropped. But then writ large, of course, Charlie, as you've been saying, you know, we really do need to figure out what the battle damage assessment here is of these facilities, in particular the facility of Fort O. And that's going to be hard to do. You know, it's almost like bombing a pyramid and then trying to figure out what happened to the pharaoh's tomb underneath. And it's going to be very hard to do that with signals intelligence. It's going to be very hard to do that with imagery or satellite imagery. And so this is something where whether or not Mossad has that network still in place within Iran is going to be very critical, and whether or not CIA has assets as well, because you really need that human intelligence to understand what was lost, whether the centrifuges were taken out, how much of this thing is, you know, still at, you know, recoverable in any way. So a lot of these questions are directly tied to the amount of ordnance used. And by the way, this is a process called battle damage assessment. It is an art, it is a discipline, and it would follow any military strike, large or small, as you're going through. And so, you know, when I'm asking these questions, these are the same questions I would ask about any strike package or target package that were being put together in the military, because that's what we do every single time.
Blake, let's get to some of the super chats here. But first, I want to just encourage you guys, email us your thoughts. I'm reading them live here on air. I want to get a good sense of where you're at. Freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Blake.
All right, let's get a few more. Bobby Gonzalez says, Charlie swayed me away from the left. Picking up W's all over the place.
I'm gonna send you a signed hat, Barbie.
Bobby Gonzalez.
Bobby.
All right. Yeah,
I'm glad it wasn't Barbie.
Shoot an email if you're Bobby Gonzalez, because that was a YouTube one. So
freedom@charliekirk.com, Bobby, not Barbie. I don't want to see any emails from Barbie.
But we did get a Barbie sub, didn't we?
Barbie's a legit name.
Yeah, it is Barbara. Susie gave $5. Charlie, I love everything you say. Always correct. Maybe you should be the next president. Well, are you old enough to run in 28? Not that you would, of course, run against her.
I would be old enough only on the October before the election.
That's old enough.
I would be running as a 34-year-old.
Oh, boy.
I'm not running for office, by the way. I'm not running. I'm just be clear. I did the math the other day. Someone was like, are you old? And I'm like, I don't know. And so I would be 35 by the election and 35 by the inauguration.
Karen donated $5 and used an emoji of a hippo. That's it. Just the hippos, man. Scott Brady donated $50. Thank you very much. I pray that my great-grandchildren will experience a more peaceful world one day because of President Trump's decision today, June 21st, 2025. Now is the time to move forward with calm emotions and pray for God's direction. Amen, Scott. Do we have some more here? Tika Lynn, $10. Israel does not need our help. It is the Lord who is their help. We are blessed through Israel. They are one of our allies. Anyone who fights them fights against the Lord Jesus. Larry the Lemon donated $10. Thank you, Larry. He says, I am about to go active duty army. I don't really care about me dying, but it is my friends and family I am worried about. Well, we care about you dying, and we will do our best to make sure that does not come to pass. Vivine, if I said that incorrectly. She donated $31 Australian. Continue your consistent and courageous act of speaking honestly, even when it is difficult or sensitive. Peace on earth. Thank you very much, Vivine. Raquel Petrie, Jesus lives forever. Amen. Do we have
that
any others? Yes, we have a few. Let's see. Jason H. Hey, Charlie, I am going to serve in the military, and I'm worried that I may fight in an endless, useless war. We are all worried about that. We do not want that to happen. Jackson asks, how many new members will get the signed hat? Does everyone who signs up as a member?
Everyone as a member gets one. Members.charliekirk.com. And then if you also signed hat, also random selection of those that subscribe to our podcast, then email us proof of subscription.
Ooh, I like this guy. Ben says, Charlie, come visit the cyber city in Chongqing, China. You are going to want to see how much China has progressed infrastructure wise while the Biden-Harris administration have made America lag behind. I think that would be a fun trip if we ever got Charlie to go to China and like see what it looks like.
Oh, I want to. One day I want to go to Iran. I want to see it.
Isfahan is, you know, where we bomb one of those sites. Isfahan is like the kind of one of the religious centers of Iran. It's got some very fascinating stuff. I would love to see that too. Probably not anytime soon, though. Adam donated $10. I would much rather we go this route and stop Iran from creating a nuclear bomb than see them erase Israel. Iran has a very evil ideology.
Wait. Chat. Yes or no? Should we send Blake to Iran? Guys, what do you think? Should
you could
we
be
send
the Charlie
Blake
Kirk
to Iran?
Show ambassador?
Oh dear.
So
what do you, Blake? You're gonna have to grow your beard out again.
We have a ton of Rumble chats too, but let me just read one important email here. Freedom@charliekirk.com, because there's reports that Iran now claims they're going to accelerate themselves towards a nuclear bomb. This could potentially be a series of bombing campaigns over months and years. That is the most bearish. Dooming interpretation. If Iran just keeps on saying they want a nuclear bomb, this has to be a series of these types of campaigns. Blake, keep going.
I want to hit those rumble rants. Colorado, one of the guys who brought up the Schofield Bible earlier, he says Schofield notes are still wrong.
Well, they might be, but thank you for acknowledging their notes. Not they act as if it's like the Book of Mormon, like a different book.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It is the New King James Version, with notes by Schofield. Just saying.
Yuan Yuan, 512, donated $10 on Rumble. Love President Trump. God bless America. Farm Life 2012 said, Trump knew the MAGA movement's future would be hurt. He would not have taken this action if he didn't believe it was absolutely needed for our, the United States, not Israel's, safety. Thank you for that, Farm Life. Shoank says, as long as the Strait of Hormuz is not blocked, then let's negotiate. Fatal Investing donated $10. He says, I'm Gen Z here. Sorry, but this is a major blow for me. He struck the, or whoops, sorry. I will support him and hope he continues with the agenda, but I will be abstaining from the 2026 and 2028 elections. I'm sorry. This has consequences, and I'm from Pennsylvania. So that is an interesting take to have. Just, I'm impressed by like the maturity to say, like, I will see if this succeeds, but I just believe it has to have consequences, so I won't vote. I wonder how many people feel that way.
It's the summer of 2025. If we're talking about this in the summer of June next year, then I'll give you some credence to that.
Todd 12, he donated $5 twice. He says, what you're saying is screw the Iranian people and they should or can never be free again. I don't think we're saying screw the Iranian people.
No, not at all, actually. We're actually cheering for the Iranian people. We just don't want to forcibly take out the Ayatollah, because you might get something much worse, and a lot of refugees,
and
a civil war.
Some people have said that, though, and Charlie, I know you got that phone call, and that's going pretty viral. I want to be clear that I certainly don't feel that way towards the Iranian people at all. As a matter of fact, I don't think that they bear or any regime's people bear responsibility for its actions. They really don't.
Of course not. No, I mean, like, yes, yeah, someone called into our show that the episode will air on Sunday, but it's on podcast. It literally, like, a guy wanted to drop a neutron bomb on Iran.
Neutron bombs.
Like, it's crazy.
We got our first Tucker 2028 message, Midwest Griller. So that, I wonder if we'll see that friction point grow or recede, because Tucker was.
I think it's going to be fine.
He was very correct on the Elon Musk prediction. He said that would get resolved by November, and it got resolved by the following week.
Yeah, I was a little bit shorter. I was a bit long. Hey, but I was sorry. I said bye.
Yeah. Yes. No. I'm saying you were super correct. You were given 6 month window, and you were right within a week. That was impressive. I was not nearly as optimistic on that one. Thank you very much again. All the donations, we appreciate all the different takes, and we're seeing. This is one of the biggest ranges of opinion we've seen. We're seeing sharply against this. We're seeing sharply in favor. We're seeing a lot of wait and see, or I trust Trump, even if I'm skeptical. We're really seeing the whole spectrum of opinions on this. Eric Day, $20. My wife and I support Trump. Thank you, Charlie and team, for all you do. In God we trust. And
amen.
That's the truest thing. We put our trust in the Almighty that this will work out to his benefit and the benefit of those who follow him. SM said, Trump just fractured his base. He didn't have the margin to do this, and it will cost him. Get AIPAC influence chokehold out of the GOP.
That's a podcast topic for another time. We're not going to address that tonight. any others?
More if I can give you. There's so many.
Let me ask to the audience, freedom@charliekirk.com, because I learned so much. By the way, you know how many emails we have? We have 4,000 emails in just the last
4,000
in just the last like 30 minutes. Yeah. I mean, and I have them all pulled up here, so I can kind of get it, because I can read the subject line. I can read a lot of this. So guys, email me freedom@charliekirk.com. If this escalates further, would you support that? Or do you want this to kind of be a one and done? Do you guys want this to be just kind of over? Or do you want this to kind of, would you be okay with this escalating more and more? freedom@charliekirk.com. Jack, can you read some of the stuff you're messaging me? I don't know, just some of the stuff that Iran state news agency says that Fordow facility did not notice any signs of a major explosion. This could just be COPE. This could just be Iranian propaganda, but what is this?
Yeah, no, Charlie. I mean, like we're all doing, we're trying to figure out exactly what's going on here. So, thanks to the internet, we have the ability to read both sides. And so I'm reading what the U.S. is putting out. I'm reading what Iranian sources are putting out, Israeli sources. And it seems like Iran is doing everything they can to downplay this. And certainly that's being done for internal consumption. So The Qom Province Crisis Management Center is saying there is no threat to the residents of Qom or the surrounding areas. There's a report where they're saying that the Iran State News Agency is saying the traffic in the city and along the Qom Isfahan Highway is reportedly flowing normally. No traces of contamination following strikes on U.S. nuclear facilities. And sort of back and forth, they're saying that, let's see. So this is Iranian MP says, there's no serious damage to Fordo. Only ground structures were damaged, which are easy to restore. No radiation emissions were recorded. The evacuation was carried out in advance. And so they're really putting out as much as possible that saying, hey, there's no fire, there's no debris. They're really doing as much as they can to downplay this. But at the same time, they're also publicly stating that they want to retaliate and that there will be serious retaliation against the U.S. People on Iranian television saying, you started it, we finish it, we're coming for all of your military bases, we're coming for all of your air bases. They're putting up the same maps that we are of all the U.S. military bases within range of Iranian forces. And again, pretty much exactly what you would expect them to be saying right now.
Let's go to cut 286, the CNN report here, 286.
Here's the latest developments on this major breaking news that we're following. Breaking news in Iran. American bombers have struck three, not one, not two, but three nuclear sites, major nuclear sites inside Iran. Those sites, Fordo, Isfahan, and Natanz, they're considered the heart of Iran's nuclear ambitions. Israel had tried to target them in the past, but a U.S. official tells CNN that the U.S. used not one, not two, but six B-2 bombers and 12 bunker buster bombs. And that was just at the Fordo site. Sources tell CNN that the U.S. told Iran through back channel discussions that the strikes would be contained and no further strikes were planned, at least not yet.
Okay, Israeli Army Radio reports the U.S. did not attack the enrichment facility in Isfahan that Israel had attacked, but another site that was carved into a mountain where enriched material was hidden. So that actually makes me
worry a little bit. Where it's good if they found a spot where material was hidden, but I feel like, okay, if there's one site where they were hiding stuff and we found it, how many are there where they're hiding things and we didn't
find
it?
The Persian people are very smart. This is not the Taliban. This is not the Taliban, okay? The Persian people were once great people with very high IQs. Let me read to you from a top reporter who will remain nameless but very well sourced. By the way, just so you know, from this, the text I got at 4:20 a.m., which I didn't read because my phone was off, from a different source. Hey, I think it's happening tonight. My phone was up, so now it's happened. So, our sources are good. That's why you should watch our program, right, Jack? Because you and I have the best, we have great sources here, and Andrew would agree. Okay, quote.
What did the reporter say, yeah?
Quote, I really hope I am wrong, but I think Israel is now going to push for regime change, and now Trump will own it. And remember, what have we been pushing all week? No regime change, no regime change, no regime change. And Andrew, was Andrew here or is Andrew gone?
I'm here, but no, choppy.
Okay. Oh boy. We'll try here. But remember, people said, no one's pushing for regime change. I think it's fair to say that we actually saw where this argument was going in advance. Now, by regime change, what do we mean? If the people want to rise up and do it themselves, legit, respect, we'll cheerlead them on, we'll give them moral support, we'll pipe internet, whatever. We're talking about forcibly displacing a leader with military assassination. Andrew.
Yeah, here's the problem, Charlie, if you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
Is that you don't know where this leads. You hit their nuclear sites. If they strike back, we have to then hit them back. And at that point, if nuclear weapons is a mindset, like you said, if the only way to get rid of nuclear is to take out the regime, the leaders of the nation. So you don't know where this goes. You cannot predict how they will respond. They at this point, you may have radicalized them. There was a mention that Polymarket, the odds of them trying now to develop an actual weapon has now gone up. Because now they know that they are under siege, that we mean business, so they better meet force with force. And that's the big risk here. And that's why we've been against this the whole way. And by the way, Charlie, if you wouldn't have spoken up so loudly, some other voices like Jack, Bannon, Tucker, saying, hey, no regime change, do you think these insane people in D.C. would have stepped back even an inch? No, they would have, like, it only would have gathered momentum if nobody would have pushed back. And so now that you've unleashed Pandora's box, there's no way to fully predict what's going to happen next.
So, Blake, let me ask you a question. By the way, email us freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast at the Charlie Kirk Show podcast page. We're getting a lot of emails here. So let me ask you a question, Blake. Do you give any credence at all to the idea they might already have a nuclear bomb?
I doubt it. I feel like this sounds weird to say. I feel like if they had it, they'd announce it. They would say, we have a nuclear bomb. Do anything at your own risk, because the value of any weapon like this is its deterrent power. There's not a lot of value in having nuclear weapons secretly. The closest you get is Israel's never really publicly admitted they have nuclear weapons. I think maybe they did once a few years ago, but for a long time, theirs was secret. But that was a lot about not getting sanctioned. They had their reasons for doing it. But I don't think there's a lot of value in Iran if they're just concealing that they have a nuclear weapon. The entire point kind of this is the deterrent value, the sort of the ability to check people trying to overthrow the regime.
So breaking news from the New York Times, just kind of awesome military stuff that you'll love. The bombers that did this flew nonstop for 37 hours from their base in Missouri. So the bombers they had in Guam was just a total diversion.
All the way from Missouri. That's a long flight.
I mean, but so there's three, four pilots. Apparently, inside a B-2 bomber, there's a bed and a toilet.
I was literally about to ask, do they have to wear a diaper, or do they have...
No, I mean, it's insane. Like, actually.
Yeah.
I bet they take drugs, though. They have to. Focus drugs. Like Adderall equivalents. Like, you have to.
Or if they have,
Jack,
like, a team...
Jack's our military guy. Jack, come on. They got to take something, right, for focus?
There's go pills. You know, there's things like that. I mean, I wouldn't say drugs, but, you know, there are certain... There's certain pills. Supplements that have been known to be
so. It's very funny. Our Andrew knows this friend, our former intel friend. I'll never forget this. And we were doing a book tour. This is right. Remember the COVID thing, Andrew? We did like the book tour with MAGA Doctrine. And he was like, "Hey, take this pill. I always take it whenever I land in country, and it really helps me focus." Remember, I took it. I did not sleep for 2 days. I remember I literally could not sleep. I was like, "What is going on?" Then I remember taking this pill. Jack, that stuff's insane.
Like, so, Charlie, let me ask you this,
though. It's unbelievable.
So after you took the go pills, you were up for 2 days, but then what happened after? Did you crash right after those 2 days?
Oh, like, wrecked.
For, like, a whole day? You were just, like, out, right?
I was done. Yes.
That's right. That's basically how they're designed. I have no idea what the science is on this, but it's, like, you're up for 2 days. You're just up, and you're not, like, crazy wired. It's not like drinking an energy drink or something like that, or like, you know, pre-workout where you're just like, oh, and I want to go. You're just awake.
Different. No. That's exactly right. You're wired but not tired.
Afterwards, you pay the price.
So, like, coffee and caffeine reduce your body's production of adenosine, where this does something totally different. This is like weird kind of focus. Anyway, it's very hard to explain.
Didn't they give that to like the Nazi soldiers? They were all on
They were like, what were the Nazis on? They were on all sorts of
meth. I think they had some sort of pill. They had either amphetamines or even maybe meth. Like, I can't remember the exact specifics.
They were up for like 3 days straight.
Yeah. They would take stimulants for big operations. I'm reading now, in addition to the bed and toilet, they also have a microwave, and the plane is heavily automated, so one
imagine
guy can
if
go.
Like the operation got screwed up because of a hot pocket.
Like, he bites into it and it's too hot, and
no, the microwave like blows up. Mr. President, we were not able to bomb Fordo tonight. Why? Well, sir, somebody decided to keep the hot pocket in the microwave for too long.
He made him yank on the controls and they went into a tailspin and crashed. There's only 21 of these bombers in existence. That's a little surprising to me. I thought there'd be more, but
they're $2 billion a piece. I don't think any other country has a similar type technology. Does Russia do? I think they have something, but
other countries are getting more stealth aircraft. I don't know if they have stealth strategic bombers. You get stealth fighters for sure. I don't know if anyone has a big bomber like we do.
I mean, it is a pretty incredible aircraft. Just, I mean, it's something. And they used it in Serbia, Yugoslavia, I think, back in the 90s.
And it's a lot of our UFO sightings from the 70s and 80s are apparently from when we were testing it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's funny. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. The wingspan is 172 feet. 172 feet, just to put that in perspective. It's incredible. Okay, we're going to wrap this in a second, but I do want to... Do we have more Super Chats we have to read?
Let's see. Ryan, send them to me if we've got them.
I'm going to read this tweet that I wrote because I liked it, because I tweeted it. And I think it's important. Let me read this for everyone on air because I like the way I worded it. It's right here. Okay. In times like this, I find a lot of people say stuff they'll end up regretting. Hyper-emotionality should be dismissed. Rejoicing because we dropped a bomb should be met with humility. Dooming should be met with cautionary optimism. The world is not over. Our best days are ahead. What?
Someone just asked if our white-blue U.S. flag is Epstein-inspired.
No.
Guys...
Did they pay for that?
Yeah, they paid $20 for that.
All right, your loss, our
gain. Yeah.
Thanks for making us laugh.
Yeah, all right.
I will literally take those $20 and, buy everyone pizza.
Excellent. Not everyone is so deranged. LLove78 says, God bless President Trump, our country, and our armed forces. I trust and support Trump. Thank you, Charlie, for all you do. In Jesus, I trust. We have Karens2121 says, this was never about a nuke. It was always about installing a friendly regime, Saddam 2.0. Shoenek has sent us several messages, donations over the course of the night. So thank you. I think he's over $50 at this point. He says, if this escalates further, they need to get hit a heck of a lot harder. We asked if you would support it if it was escalated. And he says, FAFO, no nuke. So that's one vote for going as far as we need to. Let's see. Hein115 says, God bless America for standing with Israel in fulfilling his God's plan and promises of salvation. Charles Ambergy says, my name is also Charlie. I've been going to Trump rally since I was 17. You have been a huge inspiration. All I want is a Charlie Kirk signed hat. Thank you for everything. So I guess he should send an email to freedom@charliekirk to get that hat or sign up as a member. That's the other way to do it. Sean Porter, $99, $100. Thank you very much, Sean. I would love to see this work out. I have my reservations about it. I voted for Trump the first time this last election as an 18-year-old, but I voted for peace. I hope that happens. Glad to be a new member. Cole and others have asked, how do you think Iran will retaliate? I don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know. We will just, sadly, we are in that part where we have to wait and see. The ball is in their court right now. Landon donated $20. He says, I am mixed, but I have full support for Trump. I am 23. I voted for Biden back in 2020. But you, Charlie, and my family convinced me to go MAGA. #Vance2028. Another, I can't see what theirs was, but they said, what if this attack cements Israel as a regional power in the Middle East? Would this help the U.S. size down our own footprint in the region? Perhaps the Abraham Accord countries could take up responsibility for regional security. He is an age 39 Fallujah veteran. I think that would be the best case outcome would be if we could step away from the Middle East because we have allies who are ready to step forward. That would be great. Like if Saudi Arabia,
Saudi and the UAE need to start militarizing.
Yeah, they should militarize. And if they sign the Abraham Accords, that would be great. I think UAE already did, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But Saudis haven't. That's all complicated. I think they would like to, but there's issues. They couldn't do it while there's still a war in Gaza because they have some nominal support there. It's complicated. But none of the Sunni countries in the Gulf are like eager to flip out over a Shia government that hates them getting hit. That's one of those internal Islamic disputes. Brenda, I am a MAGA boomer and a member. When it comes to all things military for the good of our country, it's complicated. I continue to trust President Trump, and I'm taking a wait and see attitude. Mr. Green, any thoughts on Iran saying Fordo has been completely emptied and evacuated? Iran says a lot of things. That's our take on that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they have fooled themselves so many times on social. You shouldn't believe anything they say at this point.
Xialin, hello from Taiwan. Donated $330 in whatever Taiwan's currency is. I appreciate American people and America, President Trump's efforts to make the world a more peaceful place. And that's the ultimate goal here is peace. President Trump is not a conqueror. He is not a warmonger. Correct. He took this because he believes it's necessary to prevent nuclear proliferation and protect America. We hope that he is correct. Saggy, thank you for $30 with no message. Edward, $10. I don't know if this has been asked already, but what has been going on with Candace? I love listening to her, but it seems she has gone, he says, off the deep end. She has her own opinions.
Candace is a great friend, and I won't say anything negative about her.
Jennifer, $20. As a Jewish person, I am thankful for President Trump, for the freedom of the Iranian people and the long-term safety of the U.S. and the world, and for Israel's survival. God bless the USA. Kyle, $10, says, represent the October birthdays. You're an October birthday, right?
I am. That's right.
Been following your work, Charlie, for several months. Thank you for helping save this country. Thank you, Kyle. We got Charles. We have Joe Spinella, $5. I regret my vote. Voted Trump 16, 20, 24.
Let me just pause.
We're almost done.
Well, no, I want to pause. Be careful with that statement. Who is his name? What's his name?
Joe.
Joe, because if all of a sudden the economy's booming in December and we're getting spending cuts and the border's secure and we're on Project 10 million, be careful just saying you regret it. If this is just might be one night you don't like, just be careful with such a statement like that. That's all I'm going to say.
And then Donna says, Charlie, you're awesome.
Thank you.
Whew, what a marathon.
Well done, Blake.
Thank you very much, everybody.
All right.
We're very grateful.
Let's get some final thoughts. Jack, then Blake. So let's go Blake, Jack, then I'll finish. Blake, final thoughts tonight to summarize this historic evening.
Again, it's very easy to get amped up in emotions. Military adventures, they're exciting. We can admit that. They're high emotion. This has been a debate that's been unfolding for years, really more than a decade. This has been going back and forth. It escalated a lot since 10-7, and it escalated a lot just in the last few weeks. There's high passions. The truth is, we don't know what will happen yet. President Trump has intelligence we don't have access to. I think he's at least earned the benefit of the doubt for now.
Totally.
Because we've had military ventures before, and they did not escalate beyond our control. We are hoping that will not be the case here either.
Jack, final thoughts, summarize the evening, please. Jack Posobiec.
Sure, and for folks looking to get my thoughts on anything else, 1776 at humanevents.com, 1776 at humanevents.com. We're going to be putting stuff out throughout the weekend on this, probably be up tomorrow. But summarizing the evening, look, President Trump had signaled earlier in this week that strikes were on the table. He has signaled for decades that an end to the Iranian nuclear program was one of his key goals in running for office, even the very first time, all the way back 10 years ago this week. President Trump, though, has been resolute on two things for that entire decade. One of them was the Iranian nuclear program. That's now been wiped out. Number two, illegal immigration. A lot of people are talking about the fracture in the base right now, the division, the skepticism that some have. And as healthy as that is, the best way that I believe to move forward is to keep the promise on illegal immigration, the 30 plus that are here right now, 30 plus million, deport every last one of them, continue the ball moving. Charlie, you've mentioned the 10 million plan by 2026. I think that's a fantastic goal between self-deportations and the ICE raids. So we want to see that going. We want to see absolutely that same type of movement. President Trump has been resolute on the Iran nuclear question, and now it's time for President Trump and everyone to support his efforts on illegal immigration as well.
It was a late Saturday night. My Shabbat got interrupted, but for good reason, everybody. A couple final thoughts. President Trump has earned our trust and our support. Take a deep breath. If you don't like this, you might say something you regret. It happens when you get too emotionally. And if you're out there celebrating and this is the greatest night ever, I also want to humble you. You don't know how this is going to turn out. President Trump acted with the intel in front of us. He's been consistent his entire life. And tonight he acted on that consistency. Blake, you have one final thought here?
It's for you. You have to wish Michael DeForia a happy birthday and tell him to keep grinding.
Happy birthday, Michael DeForia, and keep grinding. Stay measured in times like this. You take a deep breath. You look around. You touch some grass. You get off your phone if you get a little too emotional. President Donald Trump acts with phenomenal discretion and decisiveness and prudence. and we're going to see where this goes next. If you guys want one of these beautiful hats signed, you guys can get in the running to get one. If you subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast and email me proof of subscription, freedom@charliekirk.com, or you can guaranteed and get one if you become a member, members.charliekirk.com. Members.charliekirk.com. Final thing I'll say is this, is God bless our troops. There's a lot of skepticism of our military, but boy, they performed beautifully tonight. 37-hour trip from Missouri. That is top-tier stuff. And so keep our troops in your prayers right now, because a lot of our troops are literally on military bases where they could be basically attacked by an Iranian ballistic missile. Thank you guys so much. I want to hear from you throughout the night, freedom@charliekirk.com. We might stream tomorrow if Iran responds. We might be back in the chair, and I hope not. I hope I will see you Monday. So in the meantime, subscribe to our podcast. Thank you to the studio team for dropping your Saturday plans and coming in. It means a lot. God bless you guys. God bless our troops. We'll see you soon. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.